Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and it's Andrea Darlis. Wendy's taking the day off, and Andrea, everybody always says there's no good Thanksgiving music, and so I chose this song, Danger Zone, to prove those people wrong. What a great holiday song Danger Zone is.
Right, when you think Top Gun, Val, especially that scene on the beach volleyball scene,
yep.
Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise,
yep.
I think Thanksgiving.
Well,
I'm
picked
thankful
it.
For that scene.
The movie's great. The scene is great. But I picked it because I think about all the families that'll be sitting across from each other discussing religion or politics.
Oh.
And that would be your danger zone.
There was a hashtag on Twitter. It was early this morning, number two trending. It was something like hashtag how not to talk politics or no politics at Thanksgiving.
All right. Wendy and I were talking about this about a week ago. Do you think it'd be okay if you know that you have relatives that their beliefs are different than yours when it comes to the politics of the country or the world? Do you think it's okay to set down a rule, hey, we're having Thanksgiving, and during Thanksgiving, there can be no discussion of politics? Is that allowable, or does that just fuel the fire even more?
I think it's definitely allowable for this election. I mean, in the past, I
might
have said, oh, yeah, have a discussion about it, which you should never do anyway. But especially now, oh, my gosh. When I was in New York for the election, Katy Perry got up. This was kind of at the point where I was at Hillary headquarters, and people knew that she was losing steam, losing the lead. And Katy Perry got up and said, it's okay. She was, you know, you're in a bad situation when Katy Perry comes up and tries to motivate the
crowd.
The
voice of reason is Katy Perry,
exactly.
Everybody.
And she got up and she said, it's okay. My parents voted for Trump. I voted for Hillary. We're still going to have Thanksgiving together this year. So it's kind of funny, but not so much.
There's always stories that come out the day after about families that just couldn't deal with it, you know, that everybody's angry. They're at each other's throats over something. But I think this year is the one to really keep an eye on, because everybody has just been so clenched about what's going on politically. And, you know, the timing of Thanksgiving just 2 weeks after the election is unfortunate, because I wonder how some families are going to handle this. We're mostly lucky. Now, I just mentioned the last few years, my immediate family, just my wife and my daughters and I, have gone to a restaurant. We go to Valari every year for Thanksgiving and love it. We have a great time. But if we had the bigger family situation, you're going to get somebody who believes otherwise, and who knows what could go on during that discussion.
Completely. I would put politics off the table for tomorrow, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, this could create terrible problems.
If you're hosting it, do you say that in advance? Do you go, hey, we're all coming over, and I was thinking some people lean a little to the left, some people lean a little to the right, so let's all make a pact. I mean, do you set that up in advance, or do you do that day of? When is that established?
I would do it right after everybody joins hands around the Thanksgiving table and say the prayer, right after that. Don't you think?
Yes.
It's the perfect way. All right, before you dig in, no politics.
Incorporated into the prayer. If you're prone to prayer, just say at the very end, bless us for this and have that. And by the way, some of us here at the table believe other than others. So let's all just agree to get along today.
It's a Trump-free and Hillary-free zone. No Democrats, no Republicans.
Have you had incidents over Thanksgiving or any holiday where there has been some contention when it comes to politics?
We've had family gatherings recently like that because, I mean, the election was so polarizing.
Yeah.
It was the topic everybody was talking about and still is.
Yeah.
But we would have my aunt has a Sunday dinner and everybody who can go, you know, we have a big family, big Greek family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who can go is welcome. So you have different people every Sunday. Some don't go every Sunday. But yeah, that had become the talk topic at one point because some of the family was going to vote Trump, some of the family was going to vote Hillary. So it became a big discussion. And at one point, we said, we can't talk about this with each other. You know,
it's
family. Too hard. We love each other.
Yeah.
But you just can't talk about
it
because really, didn't you find that, especially in this election, people were so angry on either side?
There was no gray.
You know? Yeah.
It was black or white, and there was no shade in the middle at
Absolutely.
All.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would just steer clear of it. Wouldn't you? No, are you going to go to Valari and talk politics?
With people at other tables?
Yeah.
I'll just go, I know you're in the middle of dinner and it's a holiday, but give me 5 minutes. You can get mad at me if you want to, but here's my thoughts. Yeah, we'll do that.
How about that Electoral College?
Huh? Is that something? Is that crazy with the Electoral College? We've discussed this before when Wendy's been here. In years past, like when I was a kid, I remember vividly they would have get-togethers, sometimes holiday parties, sometimes otherwise, where friends would come over, friends of my parents, who had very different political beliefs than them. And I remember everybody would sit down sometimes at dinner, sometimes in the living room after dinner, and they would talk about politics. And even though there was a disagreement on the basics, it ended, it was carried out peacefully. It ended peacefully. And I don't know that that's possible anymore.
I don't think it is either, Bill. I really don't, especially now. I mean, my family in the past, I remember when we were little, although I shouldn't say in the past because I'm still finding myself at the kids' table.
Yeah.
Which is a good and bad thing.
It's better to be at the kids' table.
It is better to be at the kids' table.
I would always pick the kids' table over the adults' table.
Me too. And once they cleared all the dishes and everything, the elders of the family, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, they would bring out the cards, and it would be a card game. And then the little kids would always try and play cards. Oh. Not Cards Against Humanity or anything like that. It was actual, you know, poker.
Yeah.
And you'd always try and get in the game, and they'd go, nope. You have to be of a certain age, because they would whip out the money. And
really?
Stuff.
Money was changing hands.
Oh, yeah, money was changing hands. It was pennies, Bill.
Oh, just pennies? Okay. Okay, that's not bad. Now, during the Jewish holidays, a little bit different situation. I'm half Catholic and half Jewish. Catholic's on my mom's side and Jewish on my dad's side. So during the Jewish holidays, this is what would happen. We would get together. And there were always the same three discussions. Number one were whatever new cars were coming out that year. That was a big topic of discussion. Right. Did you see the new Ford? Is that incredible? They put this on the Ford. That's amazing. All right. Then the next one was either college football or college basketball, depending on what time of the year it was.
Okay.
Somebody would mention, do you think Kansas City can finally beat Pitt? I don't think so. So that would come up. And then the third and most fun for me was why I don't eat quite as well as my brother eats. That was like a huge discussion every year.
Really?
This one eats anything. This one, unless there's M&Ms on it, won't eat any. You know, so that was a discussion. So boy, did I look forward to the holidays.
I bet you
always
did.
Always a good time.
Seriously. I used to get, for the longest time, I'd get, oh, so you're single. I have the perfect guy for you. You know, and it would be somebody who I had nothing in common. My favorite was my Aunt Mary. I was going to say she'll remain nameless, but hopefully she's not listening. I love Aunt Mary. But she
Aunt
said,
Mary shall remain nameless. Yes, we will not say who she is.
We're not going to say who she is. Okay. She told me at one point she had a pool, and this guy would come over, you know, twice a year and clean out the pool at the start of the season to get it ready, and then at the end of the season to close it up. And she said, you know, and I was maybe 22 years old. She said, I have the perfect guy for you. It's my pool guy.
Oh.
I said, oh, how old is he? And I think at the time he was 50. I said, okay, he's 30 years older than me. Is he Greek? She said, no, he's Turkish, and he doesn't speak very much English.
What's not to like on you?
I said,
jump
okay,
on this.
Well, really, what would we possibly have in common? And I got the old, well, you're both single.
Right.
So
that.
It has to be. Yeah.
And your knowledge of chlorine is unlike anybody else I've ever met.
And I don't speak Turkish. So, hey, I mean, what's not to be a love connection there, right?
Jewish people play a game, or they did in my family anyway. And the game is called What Can You Do? And here's how it works. Everybody sits around in a circle and somebody brings up a topic that's unpleasant. Like marijuana. Oh, the marijuana in the schools. And then everybody's quiet for a while. And then somebody, the winner, says, what can you do? And everybody nods.
Yep,
what
exactly.
Can you do?
What are you going to do about it?
Right. That's a game. Parker Brothers passed on it, but it's a huge game.
How about the plague? Oh,
what can you do? What can you do? And this one never eats. So we get the plague and then you never eating. What can you do?
That's perfect.
We'll take a quick break and then there's a lot more show. Andrew Darl is sitting in for Wendy today for the first half. Anna Balaval from the WGN-TV Morning News in the second half. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Andrea on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Andrea Darlis filling in for Wendy. And then, as I mentioned in the second half, Anna Balaval of the WGN-TV Morning News. Now, we just received a text, and if you want to call us or text us, 312-981-7200, somebody in 708 writes this by way of text. How do you spell Anna's last name so that I, too, can enjoy saying her full name? I can spell that for you. It's B, or capital B, and then it's blah-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Is it blah-la-la-la-la or blah-la-la-la?
Well, I've always pronounced it the first way, blah-la-la-la-la-la.
Okay.
But when she's been here, she says blah-la-la-la-la-la. So I think that's more native to her homeland.
Yeah, to her native tongue, yeah.
So, yeah, write it down and then say it along with me later on. Blah-la-la-la-la will be with us. Andrea's here now. You know what was really nice last night? All four of us are together. My daughter Kylie has been going to school in New York, and she's in for the holiday. And Reese is going to school here locally, so we have her home too. And last night, just kind of out of the blue, Kylie said to me, "Let's go, you and me, let's go see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them," right?
Oh,
which I wanted to see anyway.
That's cool that you guys did
that. It was
that.
Cool, and it was the late show. It was the 10:15 show, and we went to it. And here's what I was thinking on the way. And I know this is ridiculous, but it shows how life kind of comes full circle to some extent. When they were little kids, I'm a huge movie fan, and my wife's a huge movie fan, so we would bring them to any movie that was appropriate, and sometimes some that maybe they weren't quite ready for, But if there was any movie that we said, oh, that's something that the girls would like, absolutely, we were in the car, we were at the theater, and we were seeing the movie.
You're there.
So then comes a part in a kid's life, and I don't know if you experienced this or not, where they're almost embarrassed to go to the theater with their mom or dad, because what happens is they think, what if we go and somebody who I know sees me, and how would that look if I'm in a movie theater with my mom and dad instead of with other cool kids?
Sure, you know? Sure.
So we had a little bit of a 2 or 3 or 4 year period where that was the case. There'd be a movie that I wanted to see and one or both of them would want to see. And we'd suggest, think, what?
Yeah,
they'd find some theater in Oswego. They go, let's go to the Oswego 6. That way, no one could possibly know us.
Right,
you know?
Right. She's not at that point, though, now. She likes to go.
Well, she went, like, in high school, if you'd even suggest that, you just got to look like, I'm not going to the movie with you.
No.
But last night, not only did she go, it was her idea.
Oh,
and
see,
we did run
cool.
into people she knew, you know, and that was even better.
See, now you're at almost like the friend level.
That's it, exactly.
You know what I mean? You go through the embarrassing phase, and then it's back to like, you know, mom and dad are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of be friends and hang out.
That was it. That's exactly what happened. So, for any parent who's experiencing this now, oh, no, my kids don't want to be seen with me, be patient. If everything goes according to plan, that'll change. And I was thinking this. I was thinking, I don't remember going through that at all. I mean, my mom and dad weren't my first choice if there was a movie playing. I had friends to go see a movie with. But I think if one of them had said, hey, let's go, there's a movie starting in an hour, yeah, I'm in.
Absolutely. And then you'll get to the next level of where you go have a drink. And then you'll get to the level like now, and I'll go, Mom, please don't have, you know, the fourth drink.
Please.
No, I'm kidding. Please. I say that total
Somebody's going to know us, and they're going to say, Mrs. Darlis has a slight problem.
No, I'm kidding if you're listening, Mom, because I know she is, because my mom has a very secret crush on you, which I'm not going to say on the air.
My crush on your mom is not secret. I'm putting it right out there. I like your mom.
My mom, I love her. She'll text me because I'm in the room with you, and, you know, we talk and we see each other, and she'll go, did you hear Bill say today? And I'm like, well, I was a few feet away. Were you not listening to our show earlier? Oh, yeah, I heard that. But Bill said it this way.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
It's always like the, you know, you're kind of the icing on top.
Oh, that's very nice. I'd like to be that icing.
You know what she did, though? I have to tell you a real quick movie story. When we were younger, they took me to see. We would go to the movies a lot as a family, too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my first, I think it was my first rated R movie, we went to the theater to go see An Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, nice.
With Richard Gere and Deborah Winger.
Yeah.
Well, we thought, I think they thought at the time, it was a movie about an officer and a gentleman and just kind of a happy... There's a lot for those who haven't seen it.
That maybe a kid isn't ready for?
Yeah, there's a lot of sex in the movie. There's a lot of, you know, boobs and some nudity. And then I think there's some butt shots of Richard Gere.
I think there
is. Anyway, I saw most of the movie, but, you know, I was kind of at that age where my mom put her hand over my eyes like this. So I kind of saw like little slats of through like blinds of the movie. So I think it was a good movie, but to this day, I still don't know.
When I was a kid, we would go on Sunday nights. We would go to the I-80 drive-in and we would see a triple feature every Sunday night. As soon as it got dark, movie number one, then movie number two, then movie number three. Invariably, there was one movie in there that was an R-rated movie. So my parents had this thing where we would sit in the back seat and we'd watch the movie. And then one, either my mom or my dad, would say, heads down. And what that meant was we had to crouch down low so that we couldn't see the movie screen. And then, 30 seconds later, heads up. And then we were allowed to watch the rest of the movie. And still to this day, I'll be watching a movie that I remember seeing at a drive-in when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
And one of those scenes will come up and I'll go, heads down.
Heads
and even
up.
Though I'm by myself, I go, I'm not supposed to be seeing this scene.
I don't remember that part. I don't remember Richard Gere's butt.
There was a movie called Bluebeard that we saw when I was 7 years old. It was with Richard Burton, Joey Heatherton. I'm trying to remember who else was in it. And there was some really graphic scenes in Bluebeard.
Right.
And I still remember, like, I would tell my friends in school about those scenes, about what I remember seeing. I could only see little bits and pieces because, like you, I was seeing, you know, a little bit here and there.
You were heads down.
But for years, like, my friends would go, hey, tell me that scene again in Bluebeard. Like, I'd be in eighth grade. Remember that one day you told us about that scene in Bluebeard? All right, here's how it happened.
Tell us again. And this is pre-cell phone, kids.
Right.
This is pre-YouTube. This is where we actually had to tell the story.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's changed. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up in just a little bit, and then a whole lot more coming your way next. It's Bill and Andrea in for Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Andrea Darlis sitting in for Wendy. Wendy has the holiday off. She'll be back on Monday. Mark Caro is in studio with us. Mark Caro spent years and years and years and years and years
and years
and years as a fine writer for the Chicago Tribune. He's currently writing books like Take It to the Bridge, Unlocking the Great Songs Inside of You. Congratulations on the book, Mark.
Oh, thank you so much.
Congrats. We'll talk about the book in a little bit, but that's not the reason we've ordered you to come down today. And that is this series of films that you've been putting on at the Music Box Theater. You have another one tonight. Is It Still Funny is the name of the series.
Exactly.
And I think the title's self-explanatory, but if it isn't, let's go through what that means exactly.
Well, what it means is the idea was to go back and, I mean, there's nothing, when you go back and watch a comedy, often you're sitting on your couch and you get it on cable or something, and you're like, this doesn't really hold up. But part of the reason is that you're not seeing it in the right format. And whereas the Music Box is this great vintage theater. And the idea was, what if you showed these movies that we remember being hilarious and tried to sort of at least recreate the atmosphere where you have a crowded theater, people prone to laugh. And then you can really see, does it still up? Does it still hold up? Is it still funny? And we've been doing it, lately every month. We did a bunch in the spring and then we've been doing it, monthly now.
Yeah.
And tonight, we are doing, so we did, I'll just backtrack for a second. We did Airplane in August. We did Harold and Maude in September, which I hadn't seen since college, and I was very happy that I still love that movie. We did Monty Python, The Holy Grail last month, the same night as the third presidential debate and game four of the LCS, and still did well.
That's still not funny.
The insults in Monty Python, The Holy Grail. Your Mother Smelt of Elderberries was much funnier than anything said in that debate. And tonight, because I thought, well, you know, it'll be November. It'll be after the election. We should have something that's kind of light and escapist that takes your mind off the troubles of the world. We're doing Doctor Strangelove.
Thank you
very much. Simulated possible world annihilation nuclear war comedy from 1964.
But in a funny way.
In a very funny way. All right,
we'll see.
Let's go through what you've shown in the past and what's being shown tonight, because I'm curious what your results were. You started out with Airplane, which I think is one of the funniest movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's so loaded with really funny stuff, start to finish.
That you can still quote.
Right.
To this day, you still hear people quoting.
And it's interesting with Airplane, because I think you watch that movie, and the Holy Grail to some extent, too, there's this sense of, you're going to see your favorite band play the hits, right?
Yeah.
And so you were just waiting for, you know, Surely You Can't Be Serious and a lot of these other jokes. And so a lot of what actually got the biggest response were some of the, like the goofy guy Johnny and the
Johnny Henshaw.
All those Johnny things, that kind of got the best response.
Mark, I believe the line is, Johnny, what can you make of this? Well, a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
There you go.
Beautiful.
He has a lot of, but you know which one was, and Leon's getting larger.
That got
the biggest laugh of the whole thing. So I think part of it is that there's the stuff. I mean, look, there are people there who have not seen these movies, and there are other people who have seen them but not on a big screen, and then there are people who have seen them a gazillion times and they're just sort of waiting for the laugh. So the first movie we did was National Lampoon's Animal House, and that was in April. And like, one of the things I noticed there is that one of the big laughs in that movie is when John Belushi is walking down the stairs of the frat and Stephen Bishop starts singing,
I Gave My Love a Cherry.
Yeah, exactly, very sappy, and he smashes the guitar against the wall. And When in the original movie, you laugh when he does this. At the Is It Still Funny screening, John Belushi walks down the stairs and he just pauses for a moment and kind of cocks his eyebrow. And that's what got the laugh, because everyone in that room pretty much knew what he was about to do. And it was the anticipation that was the laugh rather than the actual doing of it.
Right. Nobody was more manipulative of their own eyebrows than John Belushi. He really made them work for him.
That movie made his eyebrows and him a star. and it's been interesting to see sort of what holds up and what doesn't. Like, Airplane did well. Everything is done well, and maybe it's because we've just been choosing movies that are pretty funny, and maybe we need to choose some that are a little more on the edge. The one that did worst was There's Something About Mary,
which
is also the most recent one we did, and it also got the worst attendance. So I don't know whether it's a matter of someone who was 21 when it came out and now is in their late 30s wasn't nostalgic for it, or because it's on cable all the time.
Yeah.
Or whether that movie in particular, there was a sense that it was kind of cutting edge and how raunchy and out there it was.
Right.
And there were some young people who saw it who'd never seen it before, and they're like, this is like a PG-13 movie. Like, I don't even get it.
They
I don't
wanted
even get
it raunchier.
Yeah, the bar has been lowered or raised, whichever metaphor you want to go with, so much. And there's something about Mary. I reviewed that movie for the Tribune at the time, and I liked it, but it is a meandery movie. There are some very, very funny set pieces that are still very, very funny.
Yeah.
And then there's like all this kind of character stuff of Matt Dillon going down to Florida and stalking Cameron Diaz, and that goes on much longer than you remember it.
It's a little weird.
It's a little weird, but I actually appreciate that about that movie, and that movie is actually more of a character-driven comedy than you remember, whereas Airplane is just gag, and some of them work, and some of them you don't remember, and they're really funny, and then some of them you're like, you know? And then there are other ones, there's some of them where it's like they go to the Peace Corps, and they're teaching, I've completely forgotten about this scene, they're teaching the Africans how to play basketball, and you're just sitting there going, oh, this is not good, this is not funny, this doesn't hold up. The kind of racial humor in that movie in general, there's a whole talk jive thing, which is funny, because as you know, Leave It to Beaver Mom. But it's also a little bit like you're more hyper aware now of this is a movie made for white audiences, and all these other things are other, and you didn't, you know, and so like culturally it feels different. Whereas the racial stuff in Blazing Saddles that we did as our second movie really kind of had a new sort of topicality to it, whereas the sort of the sexist stuff in there didn't hold up at all. But the racist stuff, Cleavon Little, you know, when Cleavon Little comes into that town, you're like, wow, that's like, you know, Obama in the, you know, Republican Senate or something like that. So, or just small town America for that matter. So it's the time changes the comedies and the laughs. And that's what I think is really interesting.
Mark, people have said of Blazing Saddles that there's no way in the world that movie could be made today. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
We had a whole discussion. So after each movie, I hand out a ballot and we rate the movies and people give them a score. And then we talk about how the movie held up. And Blazing Saddles, there was a big debate over whether that movie could have been made. My feeling on it is that a studio would not have put that movie out with a mainstream filmmaker like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Quentin Tarantino is pushing, you know, pushing racial buttons with language and content and all that sort of thing. He gets away with it now too. So in a way you could look at a movie like Hateful Eight and you say, how could that, you know, that movie couldn't get made today, but it did. So it's Hollywood. You never really know.
Yeah.
It's funny enough, but I certainly think if you remade Blazing Saddles now, the stuff that made it more kind of cutting edge would be gone.
Yeah.
It just would be safer. And here it's just much more in your face.
Certain movies like Airplane, I think, can stick over time.
Oh, sure.
And something about Mary I liked at the time, but some of the jokes now I would think, you know, or maybe some of the scenes like Brett Favre. Okay, back in the day it was like Brett Favre. That was hilarious. Today it would be like, well, okay, we know it's Brett Favre.
Jonathan Richmond is still charming in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that's what's fun.
Completely.
But everyone's, you're waiting for the hair gel, and then the hair gel happens, and it's pretty, you know, they set it up very well. The dog scenes are very funny, as long as you don't mind bad things happening to a dog.
Yep.
But they're very well staged.
Franks and Beans still cracks me up.
Well, the Farrelly brothers are an interesting case because they were never as funny after There's Something About Mary as they were, and they keep making movies that just aren't funny particularly, and you know, I mean, this is a subjective point, but is it that they just sort of peaked at There's Something About Mary, or the kind of stuff they do just doesn't seem funny anymore?
Well, what was the movie they did with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Shallow Hal?
Shallow Hal.
Yeah.
That's one that I've seen twice, and I guess you could say this about almost any movie. You almost have to be in the mood for their style of comedy. You know, if you're not in the mood for it, it might not play.
My memory of that movie was that it was kind of sweet, and they were actually, I mean, There's Something About Mary's kind of sweet too, actually.
But, it is.
But Shallow Hal was kind of less go-for-broke laughs and more trying to be a little more sensitive, I guess, except it still was Gwyneth Paltrow in a fat suit, so it didn't really, like it didn't quite equate, like it wasn't a bad movie, it wasn't a great movie, but it also wasn't sort of it didn't have the kind of set pieces that, you know, Dumb and Dumber or There's Something About Mary or Kingpin for that matter had. You know, they didn't have it ramped up as much.
Yeah, but there is always a sweetness to their comedy, kind of an underlying sweetness. Mark Caro's here, we're talking about movies, comedies of the past and whether or not they still hold up.
Dr. Strangelove tonight
at the Music Box Theater.
It's going to be scary.
Musicboxtheater.com for all your ticket information. So if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Andrea Darlis in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Andrea Darlis in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. Mark Caro's here. His new book is Take It to the Bridge, Unlocking the Great Songs Inside of You. Makes the ideal Christmas gift, as the kids like to say. And Mark has a special going tonight at the Music Box Theater. He does this from time to time. Brings out a classic film. In this case, it's Dr. Strangelove, showing at 7:30 tonight at the Music Box Theater, and then a discussion to follow as to whether or not that movie does still hold up.
Whether it's still funny.
Is it still
especially
funny?
Especially right now, this particular month.
Because of the political climate in the
country. I guess so. I don't
country.
Know. Are you in the mood? Are you more or less in the mood for apocalyptic humor right now, involving you know, discussions with the Russians and
do you know the movie
world.
And the world
yeah,
right
the
end of the world that sort of thing?
Do you know the movie that reminds me most of this particular election cycle? What's the Stephen King movie with Christopher Walken and Martin
Sheen? The Stand.
No, it's not The Stand.
Apocalypse Now.
It's not Apocalypse Now. It's Christopher Walken who's in an accident, and all of a sudden when he touches somebody, he can see their future. And Martin Sheen plays Greg Stilson, an up-and-coming politician who everybody is in love with. But Christopher Walken, because he can see the future, realizes maybe this guy's not in our best interest and decides to do something about it.
Is it the Dead Zone?
Dead Zone.
Dead
okay.
Zone, yeah.
Yeah.
I just Googled it.
That's the one that reminds me the most of this particular election cycle.
I was thinking now whether I should book Being There, another Peter Sellers movie.
Hal Ashby.
Hal Ashby, who did Harold and Maude, which we showed last 2 months ago. But Being There, you know, your sort of accidental president.
Yeah.
How funny would that
There's
be?
A lot of parallels. There's a ton of parallels in Being There with this. There really is.
Except he's a sort of unassuming guy, though.
Personality wise, right. Chance the Gardener is very different from Donald Trump, but the naivete is certainly there. You know what I mean?
The sort of surprise your president element.
Yes. There's that. All right, with Dr. Strangelove, I have to admit, even though it's a classic and people regard it as one of the top comedies of all time, it never did anything for me. And I don't know why, because I love Peter Sellers and I love Stanley Kubrick, but the movie just didn't play for me.
I think that I've liked it more sometimes than other times because I've seen it multiple times. Have you seen it on a big screen?
Yes. At the Music Box, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
But you should come tonight anyway because it's going to be great.
And now it's better.
Yeah.
Now it's better. And it's, you know, it's one of these movies where it is a black comedy. It is not sort of Airplane. There are a lot of very quotable lines in there about, you know, not fighting in the war room and fluoridation. And my father always... He always loved that there was a Colonel Bat Guano.
Well, all the names are funny.
But it's more just the movie was not originally conceived as a comedy. I mean, he bought the rights to this book, Red Alert, and he was working on the screenplay, and he kept trying to remove the absurd things from it. And at some point, they're like, this should just be a comedy. Instead of me trying to remove everything that's crazy about it, you should just leave it all in and go with it. And then they hired Terry Southern to write the screenplay, and it became a comedy. But the idea originally was that it was going to be a thriller about a possible accidental nuclear war.
You know what's the most interesting to me about it is Stanley Kubrick made this movie before he had much of a reputation. They kind of let him run with it before they kind of knew that he was going to end up being Stanley Kubrick.
Well, he'd done Lolita with Peter Sellers,
and
that had been a hit. And he'd done The Killing, which sort of got him going. And he'd done Spartacus, which was a big commercial movie too.
Yeah.
So, but he didn't become the sort of iconic Stanley. I mean, you still look at this movie, and in fact, the first preview of this movie, test screening, I think, was supposed to be November 22nd, 1963.
Oh, no.
And they postponed that.
The day of the Kennedy assassination.
And so they pushed it all back, and it ended up coming out in early 64. And in fact, there's a line where Slim Pickens says, they're looking at some survival kit, and he says, you could get into a lot of trouble in Dallas with that.
Oh.
And they overdubbed him to say Vegas because they didn't want a Dallas joke in there anymore.
Wow.
And I'm curious to see it. I haven't seen it in many years, and Kubrick's one of these filmmakers who just the way he shoots everything, you just sort of, I mean, talk about remote control dropper. When I come across any of his movies on cable or anything, you just sort of like, you start getting, just feel like you're getting sucked into the screen the way he presents it.
Yep.
There is something different to seeing it on the big screen too.
Always.
Absolutely. Well, just in general, you know, if you watch The Godfather at home, it's still The Godfather, but Airplane in a big theater or Holy Grail or any of these is just different because you're in a dark room laughing with strangers. And that's, to me, like a lot of my favorite memories of going to the theater are not seeing the great dramas. They're seeing the comedies and laughing and having everyone else around you laughing.
Sure, sure.
Yep.
I know I asked you this question last time we talked about this series, but these are movies that were funny, are still hopefully today funny. And I said to you last time, you should try this with other genres. You should do this with scary movies right. and see if they still hold
up. Is it
up
still scary?
Scary? Yeah.
That have would you, work. I know. We've talked about that. Well, I'm still trying to get this one going, but I would, if the music box, if you guys are listening, if you want to do an Is It Still Scary, we could do that too.
That's a good
you
idea.
You know, my daughters have been asking about scary movies, but they're still kind of young. And yeah. so I was thinking, you know, where do I start them? Like, what's
Don't
a good
start? Don't
start
them with The Exorcist. Oh, my
no,
God.
Yeah.
I saw that as an adult, and it's still, I couldn't sleep for 3 days.
Oh, my God. I know. Yeah, the language in there too. Oh. You're just like, whoa. Blair Witch, maybe, because it's creepy, but it's not gory.
Right. Or Carrie. Carrie is still scary.
Carrie's
yeah,
great.
Carrie's.
But you know what happened generationally, and you know this because your kids are about the same age as my daughters are, is that the scary that we were brought up on had a lot more suspense involved, whereas now the scary of today is just how many pieces can you chop somebody into? It's,
yeah.
there's you don't get to know the character that's being chopped up or the person doing the chopping. I want
still,
a relationship.
There's still some good scary movies, but like, what was it? The Conjuring? That was a good one,
yeah.
I think. And there's some other ones I haven't seen. I don't seek those out. Quite as much. I mean, the other thing you could do would be, is it still awesome? And you could show,
yeah.
you know, I mean, it's just funny when we finally show the kids Star Wars, they're just like laughing at the special effects. And it's like, the special effects were so amazing when right. that movie came out. And even 2001, back to Kubrick, I'm still wowed by that movie. But the light sequence at the end of that was like,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, a 20-second sequence in Doctor Strange is like, you know, on a different level as far as the effects, but the emotional effect of it, I still think that holds up.
Do you remember when at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Nazi's face melts?
Yeah, that freaked me out.
And at the time, you go, this is look at what they've done. And when you see it now, it looks like some fourth grader made that sequence.
Right.
It just
right.
doesn't hold up at all.
Or when they're eating monkey brains, you're thinking, ew, and now you're like, oh, geez.
Right, seen that a million times.
Sherbert.
Yeah, that thing. Again.
Yep.
The monkey brains.
Mark Caro is our guest. Again, Doctor Strange is showing tonight.
Doctor Strange Love. Doctor Strange is the other movie. More people will probably see Doctor Strange tonight, but the cool people will be at the Music Box
Doctor Strange Love, absolutely. 7:30 Music Box. Go to musicboxtheater.com. And again, Mark's book is called Take It to the Bridge, Unlocking the Great Songs Inside of You. This is already in bookstores, right, Mark?
You know, it's kind of hard to find in bookstores, and it should be on Amazon. Come follow me on Twitter at Mark Caro. And at MarkCaro, and I give you it shouldn't be that difficult, but it just came out. Amazon should have it. I wrote it with Steve Dawson, who's a wonderful musician.
Oh yeah,
teaches at the Old Town School.
Yeah,
and it's a combination of, like, if you're a music fan, a long, geeky, extended dialogue about every aspect of songwriting we could think of in terms of, do you write the music first, lyrics first, do songs need choruses, do you need to know music theory? And then there are these exercises, which I've done because I've taken the class, and it's just these creative exercises. So it's like, write a monkey song, or write a song using this kind of lyrics, or this sort of
yeah.
thing. And you would take the class, or you read the book, and you do this, and then you end up with a song, because it sort of forces you to do the work instead of sitting there in front of a blank slate or whatever.
Great idea.
And we're doing a thing on December 4th at the Old Town School.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of a concert, because we have people who are going to be performing. Steve's band Dolly Varden is really awesome, and they're going to perform, and then they're going to back songwriters who have taken the class and written songs based on assignments in the book, including myself. So, and I'm not a professional singer, but I'm going to perform with a rock band, and it's going to be one of the songs that I wrote based on one of the assignments in the book.
Outstanding. Good.
So
good to see you. Have a great holiday.
Thank you so much.
That's Mark Caro.
Thanksgiving to you guys.
A quick break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Andrea in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff in for me, and then Andrea Darlis is in for Wendy.
Can I be you and you?
If you want, it's a
no,
lot of responsibility.
You're the best you.
Nobody does you like you, Bill.
Oh, you guys are being too kind. Dane, the other voice you hear that isn't Andrea's or mine is Dane Neils. Dane comes in every other Wednesday, and we talk about the incredible world of food and eats. And I guess this would be the week, if you're going to talk about food, I guess this would be the week to talk about
food. It's one of the 52 weeks of the year that
you should discuss
typically engage in. Surprisingly,
yeah.
if you look to yourself, you'll think if you've survived this long, food's probably been involved.
Are there any foods that tie into Thanksgiving, Dane? Because I can't think of a one. SpaghettiOs, I guess everybody would say.
I would say
Pop-Tarts,
certainly.
Ramen noodles are
yep.
in there somewhere.
Ramen noodles.
Depending.
Celery.
It's interesting that you bring it up, because it's obviously turkey, right? So it's
yeah.
turkey, it's the stuffing, it's the cranberry sauce, it's all those kind of things in that team photo for the meal. And we were thinking about it and talking about it. And as the world is just offered more choices, right? We have more television channels than ever before, more options. You know, some people don't even have TVs anymore. And on the food side, more places are open than ever before, right? So it wasn't your alternative if you're going to rebel against Thanksgiving. It would have been to go to the 7-Eleven, right?
Yeah.
And get like some Hot Poppers or something.
Right, you know? Sure.
Gino's Pizza Rolls.
Makes sense.
And pop those in. Because you wonder, people talk about the food and how much they love it. And of course, you're getting together with friends and family. But my contention is, if it was that good of a meal, like let's say the first time we had maybe a special occasion and some kind of ambassador brought over enchiladas or tacos, and people would think the next day, hey, those were good, let's do that again, instead of let's wait a whole year.
Right.
I think there would be, you know, Thanksgiving themed restaurants.
Sure.
If it was that good. So I don't think it's the food at all. And Bill, you agree, right?
You're not a fan of the meal, right?
You love the people.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. And we, you know, we talked about this the other day. It's kind of a fallacy. People say, well, the reason we eat turkey and stuffing and cranberries and mashed potatoes is because that's what the Pilgrims and the Native Americans had on that first Thanksgiving. But it turns out that that isn't correct.
No.
That's not what they had. They ordered pizza.
Hot poppers. Well,
Bob Barker started out to thin out the turkey population.
Yep.
He would, he would ask people, request that they would eat turkeys on that that specific day.
That's right.
So
have your turkey spayed and neutered, by the way. Bob Barker demands that we say that.
So many restaurants are out there, and some of them are, because what are the reasons that people don't want to do Thanksgiving? Sometimes you maybe want some other food choices. Sometimes it's just a lot of work, right?
Yes.
You can just get people to the restaurant. And sometimes it's both. And we've got Steve LaHaye, the managing partner over at Shaw's. Shaw's is one of those places that gives the option to go out there, enjoy Thanksgiving, the things you like about it.
Right.
Pilgrims, stories, your family, and maybe enjoy some of the selections that aren't necessarily turkey-based, right?
Yep.
So, Steve, welcome.
Steve, thank you for being here.
Nice to be here.
Huge fan of Shaw's. Never had an experience there that isn't less than fantastic. Oh, you guys put on a great show and serve fantastic food over there at Shaw's.
Great.
No question about it. So what Dana's saying is true, right? There's no reason you have to be married to the traditional holiday fare on Thanksgiving. You guys take it a different direction.
Yeah, well, you want to have the option to get the traditional fare, but a lot of people like to have other things like oysters. And I like to serve salmon on Thanksgiving, which we're going to have on our buffet, just because it comes from the East Coast.
Mm.
That's sort of from that area. Oysters, of course, shrimp. We have a nice sushi program there, so we'll have that as well. And then we'll have a lot of the traditional side dishes and vegetables and that sort of thing.
Now, Steve, do you find out, because usually Thanksgiving, it's not a solo thing. You have a bunch of family members. Is that there may be one family member or another that wants the traditional, some of those traditional items, so you offer them. Do you have a therapist on site to kind of say, it's okay, you know, talk them down a bit?
I guess that falls on me. And, the phone calls the next day if there were any.
He'll be tableside. Yeah. It's okay.
Don't worry. Everything's
okay,
good.
Edna.
Deep breath.
The shrimp you mentioned, Steve, prepared how? What kind of shrimp are you doing?
Shrimp cocktail. So we use these real nice shrimp from Mexico, Mexican brown shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And we just steam them simply and serve them with cocktail sauce.
Oh, that sounds so good.
That seems to be what people like. We have smoked salmon on sort of the appetizer buffet as well, and then grilled salmon on the buffet.
The decision to be open on Thanksgiving, has this been going on for years and years, or did you have a while?
I believe our fourth year here. We've done it about 8 years in Schaumburg, so both restaurants are open. We've got over 1,000 reservations in both
restaurants. How about that?
And I never would have believed that maybe 10 years ago, but it's very popular. I think a lot of people don't want to go through the hassle, because doing the meal is a pretty big deal. You got to polish the silver and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And this way you don't have to do dishes afterwards, and you can just
isn't that home. Better
have a couple have cocktails clean, take an Uber home.
Yes,
you can leave there the crazy uncle at the bar.
and lots of times the restaurants are kind of central if people are coming from suburb city and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So that
and then
works out as well.
I imagine this is obvious, but I'll say it anyway. The pure joy of having the freedom to order whatever you want when you go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving, and I know people love this, but you're kind of forced with whatever their decision is to serve. That's what you're having. In a restaurant setting, you have 34, 40 options, whatever you want, take it.
Right. There's about our Thanksgiving is done, buffet style, so there's about 40 to 50 items on the buffet.
Nice.
So,
something
there's
for everybody.
Tenderloin turkey, Alaskan king crab legs, if you don't like it. Beef or turkey, so a lot of good things. And there's 10 different desserts and pumpkin pie.
Oh, that sounds
pecan
perfect.
Pie and that sort of thing, which
okay, I'm thinking about changing my plans. Yeah, not to out my cousin Stacy, but I was showing you guys the text that I got this morning because I knew you. I didn't even know you were going to be on the show today, okay. But I said, do you want a ride to my cousin Maria's because she lives in the city, and we were going out to the suburbs. And her text, her response: no, I'm going to Shaw's for dinner, but let's get a drink next week. Bye bye.
How about that?
Mike drops. How about that?
What the people at home can't see is like when Bill mentioned, I know. You know, people love that. And he did the air quotes,
yes.
Meaning like people. Like,
yes, some people
suppose,
love
right?
it.
Because one of the other things this does outside of the mess and the work and all of those things is it allows you not to have that kind of force and obligated compliments for dishes you may have hated for years. Right? You know, like so-and-so salad. Oh, we love it. She's famous for it. You know, you don't want to take that away from here. At Shaw's, you can do that.
The first time I ever went to my wife's house when we very first started dating, her mom made this, it's kind of a bean casserole. I don't know what's in it, but I, you know, I was being kind and I said, oh, this is really good. Uh-oh. And then she made it every time I visited for the next 20 years. Every time I was over, we had it.
Bill, I always wondered how that happens. And Steve's been in the restaurant business for 30 plus years. He says only 4 years ago, they started being open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily, hey, nobody else has other things to do. I'm sure the public was kind of asking for that. So you have more people joining you in that whole, let's get out there, do something else. But at what point where Bill pushed himself away from the table and says, I'm not doing this anymore? Because at some point, you know, through life, you don't get to make decisions.
Right.
And then you do. How did it start for you?
Well, you know what happens is, I'm sure you can figure out the math on this, is once you get married, what happens is you spend half the holiday at one relative's house and then half at the other's. And we were in the car so much that I said to Terry, we're in the car almost the entire holiday, and it's like that for Christmas too. We should start our own tradition and find a restaurant we all like and go to it. And we've done that, Volare the last 3 years, a different restaurant 2 years prior to that. And everybody agreed, all four of us, is like, this is the best.
Right. And you can sit around the table and actually have a conversation with each other.
Oh, that's the best part of it.
As opposed to, you know, 50 people, which is great too.
Yeah.
But then you mingle and you don't get to spend time with everybody that you want to.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So Steve, is there a time limit? Is there like a clock that you start in the booth when the people sit down? Because Thanksgiving is one of those extended affairs. You don't want people just hanging out,
right.
Kind of peering around at the football game on the TV.
We usually figure 2 hours for table turn. And I mean, it depends if it's a 12 top versus a 2 top.
That's a healthy amount of time.
Yeah.
2 hours is solid.
A lot of families and kids and stuff like that. And I don't have any kids, but my nieces and nephews, I don't think they can sit for more than 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a fair amount of time. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion about Thanksgiving and the food that goes along with it. Dane Neal is here. Steve is here from Shaw's Crab House. And then it's Bill and Andrea in for Wendy on WGN. Bill F., it's Andrea Darlis. Andrea's in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday after the holiday. Dane Neal's here from the Dane Neal Show, which, by the way, we'll tell you about this, a very special episode tomorrow.
Oh.
Cliffhanger episode.
I think, the cliffhanger, right?
Yep.
And this will be the part of the
who will survive?
The tease portion. Who knows? And see, that's the question.
Yep.
So we're going to have Thanksgiving special noon, I think, until 2 p.m. tomorrow. And so what we're going to do is we'll do all those things. We're not going to do as in radio, all of you guys have talked to the butterball turkey lady and awkward references to breasts and thighs and keeping it.
It's always a lot of giggling when we talk to her.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to have Meathead Goldwyn. He does AmazingRibs.com, which is the number one barbecue site out there. And he has a team of assistants ready to answer all your questions. So we'll talk with him a little bit about some of the things there. We're going to have, you know, some of our kind of food friends call in. Duff Goldman will call in.
Oh, good.
Guy Robert Irvine.
Guy Fieri,
right? Yep, absolutely. And here's one. And we'll have a live from a turkey farm. They'll be calling up too. Not because don't worry, all of the death is
that'll
happening.
Be okay.
It's been all
right.
Previously inflicted wounds on the turkey, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
It's a family show. So we'll have that. And then we're also going to have a certified clinical psychotherapist because that is one of the things that people talk about other than maybe dry meat, you know, or bland, you know, kind of dishes. People talk about those arguments that happen, right? You get people together that for whatever reason or another have decided to not be together every other single day, but they're obligated to get together. And then, you know, the hijinks ensue.
It can be uncomfortable.
You add, you know, alcohol to that and some arguments. And now based on just everything, whether it's the White Sox Cubs exchange or maybe possibly the election,
maybe
people have differing opinions on just whether that's good or not, I'm sure. And so we've got a therapist to come on and kind of talk people, just give people the tools, I think is what they say.
You're going to need them on the whole show. I wouldn't just do a segment with them. I would keep them at ready all through the show.
Got about like a half hour, right? Oh, I guess like to moderate.
Now. Yeah,
I saw something where they had Wolf Blitzer moderating. Like, and Ed, your time is up.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea. Steve is also here. The guy who runs Shaw's Crab House,
the managing partner for
the
34
managing
years.
Partner for 34 years at Shaw's. Steve, I told you we got this text, and we got a bunch of texts from people that are fans. But listen to this text. This is from 608. The food at Shaw's is fantastic, and fantastic is written in letters that aren't just uppercase, but somehow they used a font that makes them five times the normal size. The lemon drop martinis are fabulous, same font, same gigantic letters, and the service is exceptional. They used an even bigger font for that. I don't know how they did it. I live in Wisconsin, and I visit Shaw's every time that I'm in Chicago. You're used to hearing stuff like that, and it's always nice to hear how much people love the food, right?
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate you reading that.
Yep. Yeah. And many, many others who say similar things.
Yes.
It is one of those places that people have opinions on, and they're always positive opinions. You're kind of in a tweener situation. You're offering up people things that they know and love that Shaw's does, but also kind of those traditional selections that go along with Thanksgiving. Did you feel any pressure to – because here's the thing. I think it's a double-edged sword. You almost want to do the Thanksgiving stuff bad, right? So, maybe people right. don't ask for it.
Right.
Or you want to do it really good because people expect a certain something, even though it's kind of out of your wheelhouse of dishes.
Well – I personally like Thanksgiving, and I've worked on the menu a lot with the chefs, and I like a lot of the traditional foods, and but I like them done really well. For instance, I don't like canned cranberry relish. I like homemade cranberry relish, so I brought some of that today. And we're actually going to have two this year. We're going to have one that's cooked and then one that's raw, where you grind the cranberries with oranges and sugar and mint. And
well, that sounds good.
It does sound good.
That does sound good.
And it's really good on a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, at midnight.
That works. That's a nice.
Or in a glass of vodka. I mean, either way, it sounds really good.
Pumpkin pie, which wouldn't be my favorite pie maybe, but I think ours is really good because we don't use canned pumpkins. We buy fresh pumpkins. They're called pie pumpkins, and roast them and then scoop them out and that. And I brought a piece of that for you to try as well. And then, you know, we have pecan pie as well. This year we're going to do little mini souffles, passion fruit souffles.
Oh,
that sounds delicious, too.
Yeah. Andrea's like, that sounds so cute.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So, you know, different things. And then Shaw's traditional food, mini crab cakes and cream spinach, which we have on the menu all the time. But it's a great Thanksgiving dish as well. Our au gratin potatoes, which a lot of people really like, me being one of them. We'll have a lobster pasta for people that want pasta.
lobster pasta.
Sweet potatoes. And the chef makes this corn casserole that his mother-in-law taught him how to make, and it's really good. So we have that on there as well.
For people that want to watch, you know, the football, too, I know that you do have – it's a great dining room. It's kind of an elevated dining situation. You do have a bar there. Or are you just going to wheel the big screen in for the football game?
No, we've got, like, four TVs, and the Oyster Bar has three, I think, and two in the main bar. So we have the early games, the Lions, and then Dallas in the afternoon.
See, look, he's got it all down.
Yep. That's perfect. Steve, I only have time for a one-word answer on this.
Okay.
Crab is best served hot or cold?
Depends on the crab.
Oh. Does it? It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
King crab we serve hot. Dungeness crab, which we have now in the restaurant, is best cold.
Is it really?
Yeah. And stone crab is best cold.
Can't lose either way. It's always delicious over at Shaw's Crab House. Great to see you, Steve. Have a great holiday. Dane, nice to see you. And then you will be in again tomorrow for your Thanksgiving special.
Tomorrow
at noon. From what time? At noon until?
Noon until 2. And we're going to have people calling in from all over, not only Stars, but people from around the world that are celebrating Thanksgiving. It's our American, you know, kind of food holiday. But they'll be calling in from different countries, kind of saying how it's going.
Looking forward to it.
You'll call in from Valari and I'll call in from my.
Should we do that?
We should do that. We can do that for you.
Steve will call in from Shaw.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All over the world, just like you said. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Andrea in for Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Andrea Darlis. Andrea, kind enough to sit in for Wendy Snyder, who needed an extra day. And she even said to me, Andrea, I said, we get Thursday off for Thanksgiving, and then we get Black Friday off. That's a national holiday now, is Black Friday.
Right.
So you can go and get a TV if you need a TV or stereo system.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I need Wednesday off. Just to prepare food. The entire day for her today will
to
be
cook,
preparing food.
Yeah, good for her.
You get a day off for that.
Absolutely,
now.
Yes.
This is also the time of year that if you're shopping in a shopping center, a mall or something, you'll probably notice that in the center of the mall is Santa Claus or possibly one of his helpers. And kids, of course, for years and years and years have lined up and told Santa Claus what they want for Christmas. And he has said, I'll get the elves right on that.
Yeah,
we'll get that going.
The mall Santa Claus. I used to love to go and see you know, Santa Claus at the mall.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's
you
a
tell
good
him
time.
What you want. It is a good time.
Yep. Well, now there's a mall Santa Claus in Florida who's gotten in a lot of trouble. I've noticed this, Andre, and we've talked about this when Wendy's here. A lot of times with your stranger stories, if I don't know what state it takes place in, mm-hmm. in the back of my head, I go, I bet that happened in Florida, mm-hmm. and I'm right about 98% of the time.
Yeah, you, actually more like 99%.
Yeah, it's almost always Florida. Yeah, I don't know why, but it is. A mall Santa Claus in Sanford, Florida, has been removed from his job. This took place last week. Why? Well, because he told a child that was up there telling him what he wanted for Christmas, he told that child that Hillary Clinton is on his naughty list.
Yeah.
The child's mother complained about Kris Kringle after the incident that took place with her 10-year-old. Oh, it's a daughter. I thought it was a boy. It's a daughter. Mm-hmm. This happened at the Seminole Town Center in Sanford, Florida. The Santa, who hasn't publicly been named, although I did. I said his name. It's Santa Claus.
Well, Kris Kringle, too.
Kris Kringle.
That's the real...
Father Christmas.
Yeah, that's his... I think that's the name that was on the arrest sheet.
Right.
Kris Kringle.
Right. Although under aliases, he had a bunch of aliases.
Kringle, comma, Chris.
Right. He said, and I quote here, do you know who's on my naughty list? Hillary Clinton. And then he laughed in that Santa Claus jovial ho-ho-ho laugh that he does.
Was it because of the emails?
I wonder. Do you think it's because of the emails, Ryan? It could have been.
It doesn't take much to get on that list.
Maybe that's what it is.
You know, it's wrong on so many levels, but mainly because Santa Claus really is not supposed to divulge who's on the naughty list to other kids.
That's supposed to be a secret.
That's a secret.
That's supposed to be a secret. And a lot of times, Santa Claus is very apolitical in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this
mm-hmm.
year's election has been very divisive, so maybe Santa Claus is more willing to commit.
Yes.
Well, I know that the candidates worked the North Pole pretty hard.
Right.
You know, I mean, they spent a lot of time and energy in Ohio, Florida, and the North Pole.
That was a hard stump.
Well, the elf union, you know, you got to be out there in front of the elf union.
Right. You got to get the endorsement of the reindeer.
Yeah, you're never going to get the reindeer. You never get
that
the reindeer.
Never happens.
Don't even try. Just go after the elves.
We were waiting for Mrs. Claus's endorsement for how long?
Forever.
Months.
Forever.
Yeah.
But you could see where Santa might align himself with Donald Trump, except that what is his trade agreement with the North Pole? We don't know. We still don't know. He hasn't divulged it.
Ooh, and that might be history now.
Right, it will
be
history.
A lot of those trade agreements are being scrapped.
So Santa Claus says, we're going back a couple days here, do you know who is on my naughty list? And then Hillary Clinton, and then he starts laughing. Neither the woman or her daughter thought that this was very funny because they were Clinton supporters. Although even if I was a Trump supporter at that point, I go, well, that's kind of weird that Santa would say that, but all right, whatever. They complained to mall officials, who then relayed the comments to the NOERR program, N-O-E-R-R. This is a Colorado-based company that contracts Santas to malls and mm-hmm. other places around the country. I was not aware that that was the name of their affiliation, but it is. A company spokesman said that the Clinton comment was meant to be a joke, which I guess you'd infer, you would guess that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Still, this particular Santa was removed from his post and then sent to counseling,
counseling.
With the company's human resource department.
Can you imagine that counseling session?
What was your childhood like?
Couldn't this be saved? Couldn't this job be saved?
What kind of kid? What kind of kid were you? Well, we're going back hundreds of years, but the NOERR program then released this statement on Facebook: Santa is a universal symbol of joy, peace, and goodwill for all. The Santa mentioned in recent reports in Florida is still employed by us, but in a different location.
Yeah, Texas.
Right.
I bet. Yeah.
Where this sort of thing is
yes.
fine. This is fine. You can do it in Texas. The Santas pack heat in Texas. Did you know that? Santa was given additional training to ensure that he remains in the character of Santa during all future appearances. Our unwavering mission is to create magic, they said on the website. Again, this is NOERR on Facebook, to inspire smiles and to capture memories for the young and young at heart.
Well, I think the election definitely captured memories.
Right.
Many.
Unforgettable
many.
Memories.
Unforgettable memories. Oh,
memories
yeah.
to last a lifetime and then some.
Do you think Santa, you know, because he's going to be unemployed, he's going to have a lot more free time on the 26th?
Yes.
So do you think he's maybe hankering for a cabinet position?
Yes. Or... yes. I would be shocked if I didn't see Santa Claus get some sort of a job in the administration.
The head of HUD, only if Ben Carson turns it down, right?
Well, who got named yesterday? It was they went with UN ambassador, and it's Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley, yeah.
And you want a UN ambassador who has the name of two high school cheerleaders, don't you? That's a that's a tradition that dates back for centuries.
Well, that could be the new prerequisites now, because she doesn't have a lot of overseas experience. Right. So that could be the new prerequisite.
Right. That's a good move. You know, my experiences with the girls, whenever we would take them to see Santa Claus in a Mall, was always just amazing, so much so. And I told the story before. In Northbrook, we would take them to the Northbrook Mall. That's where Santa was for them. And they did this thing once. And if children are listening, I'm going to be very careful the way I word this, but this is what amazed me.
Yes.
We bring the girls up, and they had been there the year before and the year before that. This was their third visit to Santa Claus in Northbrook. And Santa Claus said to the girls, he, you know, we filled out a little card, and Santa knew their names.
That was nice, yeah.
But here's what he also knew. He remembered what he got them last year.
He did.
Which was astonishing to me.
Yes.
And I said to Terry, again, I'm watching the way I word this, with all the boys and girls that Santa Claus brings presents to, how is it possible that he could remember the name part I got, because we filled out a card when we were in line.
Right.
Just in case Santa forgot their names. But how did he remember that part? And
that's
it was
really
explained
cool.
to me that maybe there's a database, because Santa wore an earpiece. So somebody might have fed Santa some information. But that was like for two girls that, you know, that moment of seeing Santa Claus is very jarring for a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when Santa remembered what he had brought them the previous year, boy, did that get their attention and mine, too. I'm watching this going, wow, this is good.
That is really cool. Yeah. I mean, that Santa really took the extra step to remember that.
And the elves who helped him to remember.
Yeah. Maybe it was the elves.
The elves probably
might
have a better memory.
And
yeah,
everything.
They probably do.
Book.
Now the question is, what did you guys get last Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember what I ate yesterday.
Right.
Or this morning, for that matter.
Yep.
Santa's awesome.
Santa's awesome. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there, or you can text us there. It's Bill and Andrea Darlison for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Bill left. It's Andrea Darlis. Andrea's been kind enough to sit in for Wendy Snyder, who's taking the day off. She will be back on Monday. I'm also off tomorrow and Friday, but we'll all be back on Monday.
We will all be back on Monday. Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun. I
love
sitting and talking with
you. A pleasure.
You make me laugh.
You make me laugh. All right. We were just talking about Santa Claus. The Santa Claus in Florida got reprimanded because he told a child that Hillary Clinton was on his naughty list and then laughed, and that was upsetting.
And then he was sent to, like, counseling.
Yeah.
He was Santa counseling.
Right.
And then relocated.
He was relocated. 224 asked this question by way of text. Did this extra training for Santa Claus involve spotlights and waterboarding? We don't know the answer to that.
Oh, that's a good question.
Doesn't say.
Only John McCain would know that.
Right. He's privy to this information.
Yes.
Years ago, we took our daughters, we took Reese and Kylie to see Santa Claus at a mall, and it was toward the end of the night, and then after it was over, you know, Santa Claus closes at 9, but some of the restaurants in the mall stayed open beyond that. So what we did is we waited in line, and we took them, and they saw Santa, and then we took them to a restaurant, and then a couple minutes after 9 o'clock, when Santa was done seeing the kids and getting their wishes, he came into the restaurant and sat at a table. And I said to my wife, I don't know how to handle this, because for the girls, that was a weird moment.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
Because they kept asking questions.
Well, like, they want to know what Santa was eating, probably.
Right, and possibly drinking. So I just walked over and I said, look, this is none of my business because you're off of work, but I wonder if my daughter is seeing Santa here, maybe having a drink after work might be disturbing. And he apologized profusely and he goes, didn't even think about it that way. You're absolutely right. It was very kind and got up and left.
You know, it's funny. Why? I'm curious why Santa would still be in his
red suit
instead of putting on the clothes that he would wear,
right,
you know, every day, say, at the North Pole.
Right.
So last year I was at a Santa breakfast at the American Legion. I won't say where I was, but the Santa was great. Great Santa. Kids took pictures. On our way out, the bar was open and Santa went down. And I don't necessarily know that Santa ordered a drink.
Right.
I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that Santa knew the people that were there. And you know, we're walking by and the kids aren't really paying attention. I lean over to my wife and say, I really want to take a picture of me at the bar with Santa.
With Santa Claus.
I just want that picture of none of us facing, just like a row of people sitting at the bar at the American Legion and Santa being among us. But yeah, same feeling. I'm like, I can't do that to the kids. That would be terrible.
See, that's the thing is we're adults, so we kind of figure it out. But for my daughters at the time, they were 4 or 5 years old. And the image of Santa enjoying a Moscow mule might have been one that was a little too hard to shake.
It's kind of like seeing your teacher out. Remember if you see your teacher out and you go, "Hi, Mrs. Smith."
Isn't that the weirdest thing that of all the things you can possibly see in your life, that's one of the most disconcerting because in your head, that teacher only exists in the classroom.
Oh, sure.
And when you see them out in the real life, you go, well, that shouldn't be. She should always be in school.
Right? My wife's a kindergarten teacher. It gets weird.
It is weird.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how about this? Now, how about years after? Because I'm friends with a couple of my teachers now. I mean, it's many, many, many years later.
Yeah.
A couple of my teachers and I, we stayed friends or we'll go have dinner or something. Not that many. They didn't really like
but
me.
But a few.
No, but a couple did. And they, I will still say, Mrs. Bibzik or Mrs. Magnuson, and they're like, please, it's Gail.
Can't
it's
do
Joyce.
It.
Joyce. And one more friend on Facebook, and she'll listen sometimes. I'll say, oh, thanks, Mrs. Bibzik. She's my high school counselor. Super cool. But she's like,
but always
stop
Mrs. Bibzik.
With the Mrs. Bibzik. Right.
My mom became very close friends with the woman that was my second grade teacher. And at some point after they had been friends for years, she goes, you can call me Cheryl. And I go, no, I can't. Mm-mm. Not going to happen. I still could, I still couldn't at this point.
Right. We had a teacher, she's passed away since then, but her first name was Dottie. And the first time she said, well, call me Dottie. And I did the same thing. I went, oh, no. No, I can't.
Why is that so hard? I have friends now who, you know, I know their parents. And at some point, even friends' parents go, you don't have to call us Mr. or Mrs. Lieberman. You can call us. Oh, all right. So when you do, though, every time you do, no matter how old you are, there's still that tinge of this is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do this, but this doesn't feel right.
Right, I know.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan, you haven't taken your kids yet to see Santa. That has not happened yet for you, right? That's something that happens probably in early December or mid-December, right?
I'm sorry, what's that? Repeat that again.
You haven't taken your kids to see Santa Claus this season yet. No. I was shocked when I saw the story, not about him saying Hillary Clinton was on the naughty list, but that a Santa Claus was already up and running this early.
Yeah,
this
so
seems
early.
Really early.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They get them going. They get them going early. I mean, this weekend, though, has got to be just one of the worst. Think about standing in line at the Woodfield Mall Santa this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh,
Friday at like 11 o'clock when your kids are starving, you know, and you've been shopping all day.
And you know what the worst is, too? If you're waiting in the line, and I'm sure you guys both can attest to this with your kids, and then they say, oh, Santa's going to go have lunch.
Right.
As you get, and Santa deserves lunch, absolutely, or a little break.
Sure.
We had that happen at Disney. We were standing in line for Buzz Lightyear in like 100-degree temperatures, and then Buzz, who's in a suit, which, by the way, probably weighs about 30 pounds, and he's probably sweating even more in there, had to step away for 10 minutes. I thought we were going to die. I really did.
No!
I mean, we were standing out there in the sun the whole time, but yeah, you know, the one thing I can tell you, and maybe you guys have noticed this, you know, at least since I've grown up, I mean, I remember it being at the mall and the occasional department store, but
yeah.
I feel these Santas can pop up anywhere now. I feel like villages have them.
Yeah,
now,
they do.
Days
sure.
Where they do, you know, making cookies with the kids and Santa shows up, the churches do them. I feel like Santa has become very, very accessible these days.
Way more than ever.
Yeah. Probably because there's more people and they want, Santa to be out there more. Santa's at Chris Kindle Market now, too.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Here's a text by way of 815. We saw a mall Santa sneaking out back for a smoke break. Santa should not be smoking.
No, maybe it wasn't Santa. Maybe it was just a different man in a red suit.
I was on Beale Street in Memphis, and I saw Elvis sneak back for a cigarette break, too. That one disturbed me as well. I'm like,
that's
wait a minute.
Upsetting.
That's not what Elvis does.
There
Elvis
was a story.
Smoke.
There was a story going around WGN Radio here years ago that Bozo did the same thing.
No.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a
the clown. Old Bozo, not the new Bozo.
Not the new Bozo.
No.
We can come full circle. Any
Healthy
of the teachers,
Bozo.
Any of the teachers you guys had in the parking lot at the school.
Well,
Dottie,
you know what?
You
Dottie.
Look, Dottie, I know you smoke the Marlboros, all right?
At our school at St. Damien, and I guess every school has a teacher's lounge, right? And you as a kid imagine what must go on in the teacher's lounge because no students are ever allowed in there.
Right.
Well, one time I had an assignment where I had to bring paper for the copier into the teacher's lounge, and I walked through there, and it was a haze of smoke that I imagine was like Woodstock as I went through there. I'm like, what goes on in here? It's just smoke. I had to like use my arm to move the smoke out of the way so I could see the copy machine.
Oh my God, the Xerox machine. Yeah. And they had a buffet in there too.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Smoking.
We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Andre Darlis in for Wendy Snyder in a little bit. Oh, you know what? I have to. I have a lunch giveaway. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. It's for Firehouse Subs. We've been doing this every day for a couple of weeks now, and people love it. You can win a Firehouse Subs gift card. All you need to do when you go to any Firehouse, any participating Firehouse Subs, and why wouldn't you participate, is ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get a seasonal turkey and cranberry sub, all yours for just $4.99. They taste tremendous. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. That's Firehouse Subs. They've been founded by firemen. This is a gift card coming your way right now. If you're caller number 9, 312-981-7200, be caller number 9 to win that.
This sounds delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bill and Wendy
Everybody's
special.
Liking it.
Will you be there serving every Bill and Wendy special sandwich?
By law, I must. Yeah. If my name is on the sandwich, I must by law be there.
That sounds good.
That's how it works. We'll find out what Steve has coming up in a minute. It's Bill and Andrea on WGN. Ryan, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff. It's part two of the show, the Wednesday show. Wendy's taking today off. She's home cooking because tomorrow's Thanksgiving. In her stead, from the WGN Morning News, Anna Balaval. How'd I do?
Perfection.
There's a lot of people in the business that when introducing you, they make fun. They don't understand.
No, there are not a lot of people. It's just you.
It might just be me.
And maybe Cochran.
Steve Cochran, you could certainly throw on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the whole list. And they say your name very fast because there's a lot of twists and turns to your name.
There's a lot of vowels.
It's a lot of vowels.
Which people of your persuasion can't handle.
If you were ever a puzzle on Wheel of Fortune, the first thing I would do is I would buy a vowel.
A ton of vowels.
Right.
I mean vowels.
Have you ever
vowel?
Been introduced by Tom Brokaw before? Because I would like to hear
and now
that.
Here's Ala La La. Please welcome Ala La 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 La. Tom Brokaw would have a stroke if he had to say your name. There'd be no way he could do it successfully. It'd be impossible.
Right.
It would be impossible.
Ryan, do you know how to say it?
Yeah, Ana Balavala.
See, listen to how Ryan almost says it. He just introduced Mr. Bubble's wife.
He goes really fast to see if I can tell. He
right.
has no clue.
I do that with a lot of names on the news. If you listen to me speak and say them very fast.
That way, that if you do say them wrong.
I've done that too.
They're coming at you so fast that you just go, he probably said it, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's how you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are things going for people who have not seen you? And boy, I always tell you this and I mean this. I can't think of a better show that's produced here in Chicago on TV than the one that you're a part of. The WGN TV Morning News is flawless. It's just, it's entertaining.
Well, no, it's full of flaws, but people love the flaws.
Well, the flaws make you guys, it makes you more accessible.
Yeah.
It makes you like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect, obviously, but just such
Linda
a great... Linda, you was.
She's still with us.
She's still alive, but yeah. she's
Happy
hanging...
Happy retirement to that amazing
she's
woman.
Hanging
yeah.
it up.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the pleasure of meeting Linda Yu?
No, actually, I haven't.
You should go to her house.
Because
Let's
Linda
has house.
Been an anchor for a very long time, so it's not like I would cross paths covering
yeah.
stuff on the street.
So TV news people don't, there's no bar here in town that all the TV news people hang out at?
Not anymore. When we were younger and single,
yeah,
you hung out with the people from your own channel or,
sure.
Well, that's when I worked in Spanish, but I know that my English speaking friends from English TV, if you will,
right.
used to hang out all together. Larry, Robin, Paul would,
yeah.
you know, would hang out.
But there was a separate place for the Spanish-speaking personalities?
Oh, totally.
Can I guess where it was? Was it Banco Popular?
No, it was Café Iberico.
Oh, that sounds exotic. Where's
and
that?
Café Iberico is on Chicago and LaSalle. Ironically, is where I met my non-Latino husband.
Steve was there
one night.
How did that happen?
He was there for a going away party for a friend of his.
Yeah.
And that friend went to Second City with me. And so he said, I really want to meet, I want you to meet this guy. I want you to meet this guy. And I don't want to date an American guy. I'm into Latino man.
Did you say that? You said I do not want to date an American
Let's
guy?
Let's just say the one American guy I dated broke my heart.
Oh.
Is the only one. No, it didn't break my heart, but he dumped me and I had never been dumped before.
But you can't assume
so
because.
So I held it against the race.
You can't assume because one American guy would do something so awful that all American guys
had
that same...
Well, this is what's ironic. Steve never dated Jewish, and at this point of his life, this was 18 years ago, he had decided he was going to date Jewish.
Yeah, my friend, he is Jewish for people,
My friend Chris wanted us to meet, and we didn't want to meet, and then coincidentally, we were at a bar that night. I was with my friend Sandra, of course.
She's Hispanic, I'm guessing.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then Steve was with our friend Chris, and he's like, can I bring him over to meet you? I'm like, no. And so then...
You were adamant for having never met this guy. You were adamant.
I'm going to marry a nice Puerto Rican guy, go home, and be famous on the island.
Yeah.
And so some guy was bothering me at the bar, and I told my friend Sandra, let's go around the corner, see if we find our friend Nino, of course.
Also Hispanic?
All my friends before meeting Steve had friends like, names like Margarita, Jose, you know. Now I have Kate, Kathy, Erica, Terry, JC.
Yeah, that changes, all right.
Well, now we all blend together.
Yeah.
So anyway, I said, let's run away from this guy. Let's look at it. Let's go find our other friend. And I saw Steve sitting at the table with Chris. And I was like, well, wait a minute.
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
Yeah.
He's very handsome.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
And December 2nd, we'll be married 15 years.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. What if one of your children said to you, I will only date and then hopefully marry somebody of a specific type? Wouldn't you say to them, well, you're missing out. You should try men or women of all different persuasions and backgrounds. No,
I would say that.
Yeah.
But I'd let them do whatever they want because I did whatever I wanted.
So until Steve, though, every guy you dated except for the guy who broke your heart.
Like the Organization of the American States. I dated.
Wow.
I dated a Colombian guy, a Costa Rican guy, a Cuban guy, a Chilean guy. I'm gonna stop because it's gonna sound like. I mean, this was the span of college and my early 20s.
You left out Ecuador. Is there a reason you left out Ecuador?
You know, I hung out with Ecuadorian friends in college.
Close enough.
That's also in college. I hung out. I had friends from the United States, but
just
I also
no romantic
had,
involvement though no. with anybody else.
No. And because at Univision, we all hung out together.
Yeah.
And we also went to Club 720 to dance salsa and merengue.
Oh.
And so I lived like in a microcosm.
Yeah, I guess.
In the U.S., yeah.
I guess. So were there any adjustments once you met Steve and started dating him if you were so used to dating only swarthy South American types? Like, was there any difference that you had to learn? Oh, American guys do it this way. They do something this way. Was there anything like that? And when I say do this way, I don't mean anything.
My parents may be listening.
I just mean like...
And I... Go. I was a virgin when I got married.
Of course you were. I didn't mean to infer anything else.
My dad is a Catholic Puerto Rican man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you may have held hands with a guy at some point, and that's about
that's
the... Right, I get that.
They may have found his shoes in my house, but it's just because sometimes he needed to switch shoes, like Mr. Right. Rogers.
Well, you lived in a Japanese steakhouse back then.
Yeah.
So you had to take your shoes off.
You know, he was just very dependable. Oh, my Latino friends are going to kill me. He listened, and... wherever he was going to be is where he was at.
Yeah.
And, you know, for being raised differently,
right.
We have a lot of things in common, a lot of values in common. He's also 7 years older than me. So I think the age was great, the age difference.
He was more mature.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And, you know, super support. I don't want to insult my own people.
No.
I'm sure I could have found a great Latino man. But
he brought things that maybe your previous boyfriends, Andy Garcia and Desi Arnaz Jr. did not have. Steve had those things.
Pepe, Pablo, Paco, right?
Right, Pepe and Pablo.
In that group, there must have been a Pepe.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I brought more to him than he brought to me.
Do you think so?
Well, remember, I'm from Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States.
Of
so
course.
It's not like the U.S. is foreign to us.
Yeah.
The culture, we have kind of like an American culture.
Mm-hmm.
Someone at the Museum of Science and Industry, lovely lady who puts together the Christmas Around the World exhibit, Anna, could you please bring ornaments that are typical from Puerto Rico?
Oh.
And I'm like, there are no typical ornaments. We, first of all, it's a pine tree. We don't grow them organically there.
No, I know. I get it.
And our ornaments are the same ones made in China that you guys are using.
That's it? There's no specific ornament that...
Not for the pine tree, no.
No?
But we celebrate Three Kings Day, Epiphany Day.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of music and instruments that are different, so that's how they decorated the tree with the instruments.
Yeah.
But I think I brought more to my husband in that sense. I found, I learned about the Jewish religion and found new respect for the religion. Understood it better. And I was very lucky and still am very much. So my in-laws are very tolerant, open people who embrace everybody and you know.
So there was no culture shock on anyone's...
No, my culture shock, my daughter asked me the other day, what was your biggest culture shock when you moved to the United States?
Yeah.
She said, was it the weather?
Yeah.
I said, it was the weather because it's frigid here.
Yeah.
And I'm still cold all the time. But mostly it was that Latinos, specifically Caribbean people, are very passionate.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Sure.
We go from 0 to 60 very quickly.
Right.
And anything, you know, you'll go to the bathroom, you'll come back and I'll hug you because mm-hmm. I'm so happy to see you.
Sure.
And so I'm a hugger and a kisser.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here and I had friends that were American, that would shock them.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, did anyone ever like push you away? And like, no, well, they would just stay stiff.
Yeah.
And then I'd go, hola, ¿cómo estás? And they'd be like, oh, what? Is this how it works? So you've known about Swery Mary, right?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So my camera lady, Mary Bowenton, otherwise known as Swery Mary.
She likes to use the cuss language.
She likes to use the cuss language. She's on Facebook with me a lot. And so she now has a following.
Oh.
And a lot of the following are Latinos because they follow me.
Yeah.
So she has this great story that she was at Wrigley with her husband, and they were walking towards his office because he works there. And she sees this group of Hispanics running at her, yelling, Mary, Mary, Mary. She goes, and then they start hugging me.
Oh.
And I just stayed, and I said, this is what Anna does. It's going to be okay. I said, see, you just relaxed and took it.
Yeah, that's
what
you do.
And you cooperated.
Yeah.
And all they wanted to know was that you were okay and give you their love.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, I've had people who, and my husband always tells people, it's a Puerto Rican thing.
All the touching and the grabbing and the holding.
And that. And the thing that my daughter got her ears pierced when she was 2 months old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His whole family's like, oh my God, it's a Puerto Rican thing.
Yeah.
A lot. He excuses my behavior.
Right.
A lot.
But to put pinatas in her ear at 2 months.
That was a little
too
much.
That seems excessive, doesn't it? Anna Balaval is here. If you have any questions or comments, you know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. We have a lot more coming up, so stick around. It's Bill Leff, and like I said, it's Anna in for Wendy. It's Bill Leff. It's Anna Balaval. She's filling in for Wendy Snyder. Earlier, you said we were talking about how some people in the media sometimes mispronounce your name,
mm-hmm.
and I'll cop to it. Every
some
once in a while, I accidentally...
You and Cochran.
It's funny you mention that. You know who's on the line right now? Take
oh,
a guess.
No, I have a
Take
restraining a order against him.
Not
I
on the phone.
Hear.
It doesn't. Oh. It doesn't hold to the phone. Oh. Steve, is that you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Bill, and your host, your guest host, Charo.
It's not Charo. It's Anna Balaval.
Very well. Anna Balaval.
That's right.
Steve.
I love Anna Balaval.
I love Steve Cochran so much. I married a Steve.
Yeah, it was really the only way to keep us apart.
It's the only way to keep you.
You guys sound great. Listen, you both know the person I'm going to mention. I just wanted to say happy Thanksgiving to both of you, but I have some good news, and boy, don't we need it now, right?
If ever Please. We need a good news, Steve, it's now.
Please.
What's your good news?
Our friend Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor.
Yes.
Ragsofhonor.us, buy something, help a homeless vet, by the way. Just got married to his beautiful fiance, Kip Bazzoni. Mark and Kip are now husband and wife.
That's fantastic.
Were you at the wedding? Like, did you just see this happen?
I was the officiant. I did the ceremony. It's my sixth wedding.
Is he a rabbi now?
No, not a rabbi. He's an ordained minister.
Oh, I thought he was a rabbi.
No.
Like I assume I'm Jewish. No, I was ordained by the First Church of the Internet, which, by the way, is a little too easy.
Yes.
But no, I did the service, and we had a wonderful time, and I'm very happy for both of them.
That's so
wonderful.
That's
great news. Now, Anna assumed you're a rabbi because you've performed two brisses, one of them by accident.
Yeah, one was actually forcible on someone that used to run the station.
And that's why you were fired.
Yeah, that time.
Yep.
So I just want to listen, happy Thanksgiving to both of you. I know you have actual real fans standing by to talk to you, but I love you, Anna, and I love you too.
Happy Thanksgiving
nice. Thank you,
to
Steve.
You and your wonderful family. You
Bye.
Take care. That's Steve Cochran. He can be heard here in the morning. He
yep.
does mornings here.
Mm-hmm.
Other people want to chat with you. Jose is on the line. Jose, how are you?
I didn't date Jose.
No, did you?
Hola, Ana, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien. Listen, I was just getting back to some of the little stories that you were telling prior to this call,
mm-hmm.
is that I also am a hugger and a kisser. I hug and kiss men, and I hug and kiss women. And my friends also say, don't worry about it. He's Puerto Rican and stuff like that. So it's quite funny and stuff like that.
Jose, when they say that, though, when people go, oh, don't worry about him, he's just Puerto Rican, does that disturb you? That seems like very dismissive. No?
Absolutely not. Oh. Absolutely not. I actually take it as a compliment. Yep. And everything like that.
Oh.
And another thing is, and I'll be glad to tell you my last name. My last name is Roman, R-O-M-A-N. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when people say Roman, I say, uh-uh, my last name is Roman.
Yeah.
Not Roman, Roman. So just a little tidbit I wanted to share with you. We love watching you. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Likewise.
Thank you, Jose. Appreciate
okay,
it. Gracias, bye. Jose. You're listening to Telemundo Radio.
Now
Radio
you have 009. Two bilingual people that listen to you, Jose and I.
That's perfect. That's great. All right. There's all kinds of stuff coming up on today's show, so stick around. We have a lot more for you. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much.
I just blew a kiss to Stephanie.
I saw Stephanie, our assistant program director, was in here telling us about Black Friday sales that have already began.
I know. I started shopping on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah. Because that deal that she's talking about at Gap,
mm-hmm.
it was 40%. And this probably happened to you with the girls. The first day that it's cold out, you realize that they've outgrown
everything. Yeah, you have to start over with their wardrobe.
Or they don't have, yeah.
Yep. So she was in here, and just to prove your point that you're a very huggy, lovey, kissy person, you blew her a kiss, much like they used to do.
It wasn't to prove a point.
At the end of the newlywed game. It was that same kind of kiss.
Or that, the freaky guy from Family Feud.
Oh, Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
Well, he would just make out with everybody on the show.
That was even weird for Latinos. That was weird.
That was crazy.
Not even Don Francisco does that.
No. From Sabado Moche Gigante?
No, mucho gigante. Sabado gigante.
Sabado gigante. Big Saturday, right? Yeah.
Giant Saturday.
Giant Saturday. Of all the people that I've met since starting the show here at WGN, Randy Vineyard, without a doubt, is one of the most important and moving people. Randy has a story that we'll reiterate just a little bit of something very personal that happened to him and his family, but it's something that I know we can all relate to. And after talking to Randy online for months and months and months, he finally came up in studio a couple of weeks ago, and we told the story of him and his family and his son Jake, and the response was overwhelming, and you'll find out why. There's a big blood drive coming up on Monday, December the 12th, at the Spring Grove Village Hall that Randy's behind, and we'll give you all the information about that. But first, Randy, thank you for being here a couple of months ago, and thank you for being here today. How are things going for you? Everything all right?
Things are well, Bill. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good. If you wouldn't mind, I told a little brief story about Jake, about your son Jake, and what has happened with your family. If you wouldn't mind, Randy, let's reiterate a little bit about what has gone on about Jake's story.
Okay, sure thing, Bill. April 8th, 2014, I lost Jake. We lost Jake to suicide. He was 19 years old, and obviously our lives have been changed since that date. Our family has been pretty much devastated, but on the flip side, we've also been committed to turn our personal tragedy into positives for others.
I don't think I've ever met anybody as resilient as you. And I said to you, I've told you this in note form online and certainly when we met in person, this is, I think, every parent's absolute worst nightmare, not just to lose a child, to lose a child this way. And I know that it changes everything. I can't imagine what you've been through and your wife and your daughters have been through, but it's a testament to how strong you all are just to get through it and as best as you can. I applaud you for that.
Yeah, well, I can't say that it's easy, but it's, you have to do it, Bill. You can't crawl under a rock as much as you want to. You can't hide from it. You've got to, and I said it before, we don't move on without Jake. We move forward, and we're trying to do the best we can in doing that.
Randy, this is Anna. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thank you, Anna.
You know, I was wondering, at what point of the grieving process did you and your family say, so we're going to turn this into something that will benefit others, we're going to help others based on our tragedy? When does that light bulb go off and say, we're in sorrow, we're in mourning, but there has to be something meaningful that comes out of this?
Yeah, and I think what brings to light, and I don't know if there was one exact moment, but, you know, suicide and depression, you know, it's totally different nowadays than it was back when I was in grade school and high school, dealing with it so much earlier and seeing in our small community and other communities, kids dealing with depression and dealing with, you know, friends that have taken their own lives. You just see that, and it's like you've got to step up and you got to do something to raise awareness. And that's why we do our walk in September and October for the Out of Darkness walk. So I don't know if there was one specific time or moment, but, you know, again, I can't sit back and not do anything. It's too easy to do that. And it's not good for my own personal health, but it's not good for my family's health as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is, I applaud you again for realizing that something good needs to come of this. You certainly don't want Jake's name to be forgotten or memory to be forgotten, and it never will with you and your immediate family. But if some good can come out of this, you guys are finding that good and making that happen. And Randy, boy, is that important.
It is. And you know, again, I'm no different than any other parent that has lost a child. Is, you know, one of their biggest fears is it's just becoming a name and not the person that's remembered. And we don't necessarily want Jake to be remembered that he died. We want to remember that he lived. And, you know, this is one way that we can do it through our foundation, and simple things, you know, simple things like this blood drive that we'll talk about that we can do, to have an impact on other people's lives.
Let's do that now, though. Let's talk about the specifics of the blood drive. Now, the blood drive element, is this the first year you've done the blood drive? It is, right?
It's our first year, but this is our third, our actual third drive of the year. And this one's kind of a unique one. We've teamed up with Heartland Blood Sources, Blood Centers, and Carrie Futchko, who's our coordinator. We've worked with her for all three drives, has been phenomenal. It's a great organization to be teamed up with. So this is our third one. Our first blood drive, we had over 50 donors that showed up, but, you know, for obvious reasons, some people couldn't donate. Iron levels were low or what have you, but we ended up having 48 donors. Our target has always been is 33. That's Jake's number that we always remember him by. So our second blood drive, I believe we hit the 33 number. And again, our goal is 33 for this one up on the 12th also. But the key thing about this one is there's actually 72 slots. This is something unique that Heartland's doing. They've got this holiday jingle bus that they're going to create a festive environment. So they'll actually have 72 appointment slots available. And it'd be great if we can get close to that number or even hit that number just based on the need, especially this time of year. Blood sources go low, and I think it'd be phenomenal if we could hit that number.
And this is on Monday, December 12th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Spring Grove Village Hall.
That's correct. Yeah, 7401 Meyer Road in Spring Grove.
Do we know, Randy, is there a reason? You just mentioned that blood supplies get lower toward the holidays. Is there a reason for that you know of?
Well, I don't know the exact reason why. I know there's dips and swings. Weather may be a factor.
Yeah.
So,
or maybe people could be busy because of the holidays and just not thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that kind of struck me, well, the first time Jake could donate blood, he did at the high school, and we've got a picture of him. I posted it on our Facebook page during our first blood drive, and you know, that kind of struck with me, and that's why I thought, you know what easier way is it to do something good and give by basically doing nothing, laying on a bed and, you know, giving up maybe 45 minutes of your time, and you can actually save up to three lives. So, you know, you look at the impact that can have on so many people, especially around the holiday season. I just think it'd be phenomenal.
Randy, how would you describe Jake? What kind of kid was he?
Outgoing, fun, funny, character, loving, just, you know, a great all-around kid.
And a giver. I mean, he donated blood.
Yeah.
He was aware of the need of others.
Yep.
I'll tell you, that's something, Randy, that never fails to come through on your Facebook page. I've known this about you for years, is when you talk about him, it's all those proud moments. And it's so good to get those moments. I didn't know Jake, obviously. I'm so sorry I never got to meet him. But I feel like I know him, you know, from reading about him.
Yeah. And I kind of hear that a lot. And it's one way that helps me heal, to get people that didn't get to know Jake to maybe know him. and maybe know why I and my family are kind of doing this, because it's not, you know, it's not just another kid. You know, this is our son that we want to do something good by.
It right. honors how he lived, which yep. is so important.
Yep.
Yep.
No doubt about Absolutely. It. Well, we're certainly thinking about you all year round, but at holidays especially, and your wife, Randy, and your two daughters. And good for you for doing this. Really, yep. it's such an important thing. Let's give out the stats just one more time really quickly. It takes place on Monday, December the 12th from 3 to 7 p.m. That's at the Spring Grove Village Hall. They're looking for blood. They need blood. As Randy pointed out, the holiday season, there's a little bit of a dip in the supply. So what better time to give? And if you want to know more about the foundation and about Jake himself, visit jakevineyardfoundation.com. All the information is there. Randy, are we leaving anything out?
No, I do have a link on our website also that, you know, local folks that live in the McHenry area, the folks not familiar with Spring Grove, we are, you know, where Moses lost his slippers up in the northern part of the state.
Indeed, but, you are. You know,
yeah, but, you know, just I want to highlight also Bloodland, Heartland Blood Sources, our centers, they're having blood drives almost every week. And, you know, on the 12th, there's actually a blood drive in LaGrange. There's another one in McHenry. There's another one in Plainfield. So even just check out Heartland Blood Center's website and find a blood drive near you. And, you know, you can be JV Strong also.
Perfect.
Yeah, JV Strong.
Beautiful. Randy, yep. thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
Greatly appreciated.
You have a great Thanksgiving, guys.
So do you, please.
And you. It's Randy Vineyard, everybody. Okay. We'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show for you. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.
Ooh.
Do you like this, Anna?
Welcome back.
I'm going to put on a lava lamp when I hear this music.
And we'll just stare at it.
Yeah, we'll just stare at the lava lamp, get
Dude.
Hypnotized by it. Later on in the show, our guest will be Joe Thomas Sr. Joe Thomas Sr.
Not to be confused with Joe Thomas Jr.
That actually is his son. Did you know that? It's hard to imagine, but it's true. Joe Thomas Sr. is 55 years old, and he does something that I believe no other 55-year-old in the country is doing. How's that?
That's a good tease.
That's a good tease. I don't even know the answer.
That's how we produce our shows.
That's how we put it together. We go, get a guy who's 55 and is doing something unique, and we go, all right, let's do that. I have a strange political question for you.
Oh, boy.
Now, immediately, if I say politics, I'm already getting texts. Oh, no, please no Trump bashing.
Already?
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm not. I just have to ask you this. Now, over the years, I have asked this question of dozens of people, and nobody has gotten it right, but I think it's because you lived in Puerto Rico, you may know the answer to this. Every year, every 4 years, when the presidential election is held, we find out that certain parts of the country that are territories like Puerto Rico, they favor one candidate over the other, right? But then because of the Electoral College, they, in this case, Puerto Rico, are not mentioned, that they don't have any points in the Electoral College. Does this mean that the people who are in Puerto Rico and are voting for the president of the United States, even though they're excited about the fact that they're voting, does this mean that their vote just out and out doesn't count?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No. We can only vote for our local officials.
So, all right.
We don't have the right to vote as U.S. citizens. Isn't that ironic?
It is
ironic. Put my father on the line.
Please, get Mr. Balaval on the line.
Get Mr. Balaval on the line.
I want to talk to Mr. Balaval.
He'll explain it a lot better than I will.
All right. So everyone's aware of that. So if you were to come, you are a
it's
U.S.
It's like symbolic. They do it because they're a part of the Democratic or the Republican Party.
Right.
But you have to, as a Puerto Rican citizen, you have to have residency on the mainland and live here 6 months or so. I don't remember.
Can you have dual residency?
No.
You can't. No. It's one or the other.
See, that's a tricky question because I have an uncle that's living in North Carolina and has been living there for a year now and voted there in North Carolina. And then I think he went home and I don't know. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I'm not sure if you could do both. I understand because I saw a video on the internet about this, so it should be true.
Yeah.
That if you move to Puerto Rico, and this is true, and your residency is Puerto Rico, you can't go and say, well, I have an apartment in New York, so I will vote for the president here and it should count. We don't have elections for the president on Election Day.
But the people of Puerto Rico vote in the primaries.
Yes.
I know that for a fact because
yes.
I watched the results come in. And then they also vote on election day, but they realize as you're filling out your ballot.
But I've never heard that they vote for the president on election day.
No?
That I have never heard.
Oh, all right.
I'm telling you, call Mr. Belleville. He's got nothing to do.
Why would the people of Puerto Rico vote in the primaries if they knew that whatever they come up with, it just doesn't matter?
We love to vote.
But it doesn't count.
This was the saddest turnout in this gubernatorial election ever in Puerto Rico, because not a lot of people went out. But I'm talking, you put anything in front of us to vote, and we love to go vote on anything. And it's sad because, you know, it's funny and sad because we barely have any powers on our future, really, the U.S. decides. Right now we have a board that was sent from the U.S. government to Puerto Rico to pretty much put everything in order and organize it. They picked a governor, but the governor has to answer to this board.
So is the board located in Puerto Rico, or is the board here?
Well, the board was assembled, and I think there's maybe one or two Puerto Ricans that live in Puerto Rico, but the rest are state people.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they're living there or not.
So
787-721.
So everyone there is aware of the fact that boat, even though they're
Bill. Yes.
And are there is it like, you know,
it's
here?
It's part of being a colony.
Boy, that's so strange.
Isn't it frustrating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been any movement at all for the people of Puerto Rico to say, hey, we're part of the United States, our votes should count, we want in?
Yeah, but no one listens. I've covered plenty of referendums and plebiscites, and most of the time they choose to stay as a commonwealth.
Yeah.
But
that's who does our electricity.
Yeah, we're a ComEd.
They're owned by ComEd.
Yeah. So, but you can say it ad nauseum, or however you pronounce it.
Ad nauseum.
Yeah. But the U.S. has the last word.
That would see. I'm surprised there's not more. I'm not asking for an uprising. I don't want an uprising. But if I was there, I'd go, wait a minute, what gives with this? We're U.S. citizens.
Right. We're U.S. citizens.
We should have some rights in this.
They can go to war, too.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right? All right. Brian knows why.
Oh, good.
Brian, first of all, thank you for calling. Second of all, you know the answer to this, right? How could this be?
Yes, I do. As Puerto Rican citizens from the Commonwealth, you do not pay federal tax. Ergo, you don't have taxation without representation. So you don't have a senator, although the governor acts as a quasi-representative to the Senate. You don't have senators in the federal government. You don't have House of Representatives.
We have a representative in the House of Representatives, but he doesn't have a vote. He has a voice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And you, and we don't, yeah, you don't, but you just vote in the primaries. Anna was right.
Yeah.
Just vote in the primaries, not in the general election.
Right.
So you can suggest who the president will be, but not in the general election.
Yeah.
And there has been several movements for either independence or statehood or just stay the same. And it's such a quagmire there. We've been going for the last 13 years into Condado or Ocean Park, staying in those areas for a month or two at a time. And you talk to different factions there are quite vocal about what they want.
And do you know, Brian, is that the case with other territories like American Samoa? There's, you know, U.S. has other territories that are not part of the 48 connected states or Alaska or Hawaii. Is that the case with all U.S. territories that if you want to go in and vote, fine, but realistically that vote's not going to count? They're not part of the Electoral College.
Right. And as long as they're not getting taxed, federal tax, you know, on their income, then they don't vote.
How about that?
We certainly have other taxes.
Yeah, I bet.
And living on an island is really expensive.
Yeah.
Brian, do you like it when you go?
Oh, we love it.
Thank you.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I have to ask these questions, Brian.
Anna, it's like Chicago, you know, where you hear stories outside the city where, oh, don't go to Chicago, it's crime. Don't go to Puerto Rico, there's so much crime. That is a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah.
It is the most beautiful place on earth, most friendly people.
Wow.
There you go. Brian, I'm going to hook you up with Mr. Belleville. He's a great ambassador.
Yeah, we've talked before on like Facebook and stuff, Annie. You've even recommended some places for me to get my local Puerto Rican beer.
There you go, Brian. Yeah. I really appreciate it. And I'm so happy you called and clarified that. It's true. I had forgotten we don't pay federal taxes. And right now, because of the financial situation in Puerto Rico, because we can't declare bankruptcy because we're not a state.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why there's a board.
Yeah.
people are discussing this a lot because we want to settle the status issue once and for all. Even the people who favor independence say, if people want to be a state, let's just do it.
Yeah.
But it's not just the people, is that Congress has to approve it.
Right. And that doesn't seem likely at this point.
Less likely under a Republican administration.
Well, Brian, thanks for being so knowledgeable. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Puerto Rico for 13 years. Thank you so much. Yeah. We appreciate it. I'm going to sing our national anthem.
All right. Wait, do it after the break.
Oh, and you also said about why, you know, you say the name real fast.
Yeah.
Every Puerto Rican talks extremely fast.
There you go.
Is that true? You can vouch for that?
Blame it on being Puerto Rican.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
And very fast.
Have a great holiday. Bye. All right. Bye. Take care. How about that?
Yeah.
Now we know. All right. We'll take a quick break, then some news. And then, like I said, Joe Thomas Sr., 55 years old, and he's doing something that I don't think any other 55-year-old in the country's doing. No, you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll meet him in a little while. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN. Thank you so much, Steve. It's me, Bill. It's her, Anna. Anna Balavala is sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will return on Monday when the holiday is over. Joe Thomas Sr. joins us right now. Joe is on the phone. Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, very well.
Joe, do me a favor. Here's what I've been saying up until we actually got you on the line. I've been saying that Mr. Thomas, Joe Thomas Sr., is 55 years old, and he's currently doing something that no other 55-year-old person in the country is doing. Do you know that to be true? I keep saying it. I hope it's true.
Yes, it is.
It is true. I want everyone to know what it is, and then we'll hear the backstory. I think it's better coming from you, though. Tell everybody about what you're doing at the age of 55 that no one else is doing.
I'm working out and eating healthy and doing a lot of stretching and just taking care of myself.
You're doing all that, but...
Like everybody should.
Right. You're taking care of yourself. You're eating right. You're exercising. But that has led to you, sir, being the first 55-year-old to ever play in an NCAA football game. You did that last weekend, right?
Yes, sir.
How exciting is that at the age of 55? Nobody would think that was possible. So what led to this? How did this become a reality?
Well, I didn't always want to do play college football. I have a lot of free time since I have my own business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to go to class every day and go to practice. I work a long time, so I made that happen. That's a dream I wanted to fulfill. It was too late.
So you
would... I was in college.
You attend you go to SC State. You go to South Carolina State, correct?
Yes, sir.
When you were a kid, you did not go to college, right?
That's right.
You didn't. And what made you go later in life? What made you decide, I got to go back and get into school?
Well, the area I'm from, the economy was real bad. I couldn't find a job. Lost some contracts, and everywhere I went to fill the application out, they said I needed a college education. So I went back to college. Since I was at college, I figured I'd walk on the football team and made the team. So that was it.
So why did you want to try out for the team at your age?
At my age, that's something I always wanted to do, go to college when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So since I was there, I figured I'd walk on. When I was younger, I had a probably still have it, the way I know I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Speech impediment.
Yeah.
When I was young, I couldn't hear that well. Mm-hmm. I was a little afraid to go to college when I was young, when I came out of high school.
Well, you sound great. You look great, Joe. I've seen footage of you. I've seen pictures of you. You're in really good shape, sir.
Yes, sir.
You are. All right, so is this intimidating at all when you're practicing and then playing in a game? You're playing against guys that are probably 19 or 20 years old, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and so what are their thoughts about this, playing against a guy who's old enough or older than their own dads?
Yeah.
Well, they thought maybe I couldn't make it, and they always say Pop. They call me Pop.
I was going to ask you if they had a nickname for you, because
Pop,
you deserve a nickname.
That's my son. He started that. That was all right with me,
mm-hmm.
which I am a Pop, all
right.
compared to them. And but when I started working out with them, they know that I was running right there with them. I ran a lot of them. And lifting weights with them. I was doing everything they were doing. They was amazed.
Now, Joe, we mentioned your son, also named Joe Thomas Jr. Joe currently is employed by the Green Bay Packers. He plays football for the Packers. We are in Chicago, don't like the Packers because they do that thing that we don't do here in Chicago, and that's win.
Win, yeah.
Yep. They're not winning right now, but
not currently.
More than us, Mr. Thomas. More than us.
They were definitely boss back.
When you told your son that you were going to be playing college ball at the age of 55, what was his reaction, Joe?
Well, he was okay with it because we've been talking about it way before you started there. Actually, started in there when the economy got so bad, and I spoke with him 3 or 4 times about it and see how he felt about it. Mm-hmm. He was okay with it.
So when you were out there playing and they call your name and you go out there to play, did you take a moment to take it all in, or were you just one of the boys just running after the ball or whatever it is linebackers do, Bill? I'm sorry.
Block.
That.
Tackle.
Uh-huh.
Come again, I'm sorry.
When you were out there, did you take a moment to take it all in to say, oh, my God, I am playing college football?
I was just ready to go. Ah. When he called me and said, I got to play, I was happy, but I was nervous. But butterfly, after I touched the ball, I was okay after that.
Does anything hurt, Mr. Thomas? Does anything hurt?
No,
I'm 42 and everything's starting to hurt.
I hurt more when I was in my early 20s. I feel a lot better now.
Good.
I didn't feel anything. I wasn't sore the next day or anything.
Good.
I feel great.
That's wonderful.
My body, my doctor said I got a body of a 25-year-old guy.
I know
I don't look 25, but my body feels good.
That's excellent. That's so cool. And what did they have to do, Joe, once you got into the game? Because I believe that this is a record, an NCAA record. Nobody of your age has participated in a game and played in a game before. So when did they let you know that you had broken that record? Was that immediate or was that later on?
Well, I kind of know that before it happened.
Oh, you did?
I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to fulfill my dream so it happened, and I thank God for it.
It's never too late. Listen to this man. He went to college later on in life,
right,
and he also played college football.
Yeah. I'm sure you know the story, Joe, about Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. They played in the same outfield together for a little while. Wouldn't that be exciting if you and your son got to play in a game together? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, that's what we tried to make happen when I first started. But I had I was in a car accident by a drunk driver.
Oh, no. Mm.
And messing the knee up, and had an ACL and an MCL operation.
You're doing okay now, though.
I kind of saw everything back.
But now you're okay. You're okay in terms of those injuries. You're healed.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay,
I'm
that's good.
No pain.
And Joe, I'm sure I'm not the first person to suggest this to you, but this story, your story about at the age of 55 going back and playing college football, that's the kind of thing that would make for a great movie. Has anyone ever suggested that this could be a movie?
Yes, I even thought of it.
Yeah?
Before I even started.
Who would play you if they did a movie of this, Joe? Who do you want playing you?
Probably President Obama.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Go big. Get Barack Obama to play you.
Either Wesley Snipes, Denzel Washington.
Yeah? Yeah, Wesley Snipes would be good. Denzel, yeah.
Aim high, sir. Always aim high. And younger.
That's right.
Yep.
That's
yep.
right. So, I always had that attitude.
Joe, are you going to – will you be back out on the field again this Saturday? Or are you playing again? You are. Are you looking forward to it?
Wow.
I'm ready. I can't wait.
Oh, you're the best. This is such an inspirational thing. Joe Thomas, again, Joe Thomas Sr., at the age of 55, playing football for SC State. It's an all-time record. Nobody 55 has ever played in the NCAA before, but he's doing it, and he's doing it well. Joe, great to meet you. Thanks so much. I hope you have a great holiday.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Have a blessed one.
Thanks. Oh, thank you. We promise.
The picture's awesome because these young kids are lifting him up.
Yeah.
And he has the body of a 20-something-year-old, but he's kind of balding. He's an older gentleman. It looks like they're picking up their grandpa. But grandpa's in an awesome shape. I imagine how the coaches feel comfortable. Like
the coaches
oh my God,
are younger than he is.
I know. Sir, could you do this for me, please?
When I read the story, I kept thinking about David Ross, who was one of the catchers for the Cubs, and the
grandpa,
team lovingly
right?
called him Grandpa, even though he wasn't that much older than him. In this case, Joe is almost 3 times their age.
Yeah.
You know, he's 55, they're 20, so that's legit.
Yep.
I mean, that's amazing. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show for you. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Anna Balaval in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, here's how the meeting's going to go after the show. Everything was going good, and then Anna had the problem with that one WGN story. What happened there?
I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
Unprofessional.
Unprofessional is right. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill, and it's her, Anna. Anna's in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday.
Wendy is cooking up a storm.
That's what she's doing.
She sounded so excited yesterday.
Yeah, she is excited. She's got over 100 people coming to the house.
Are you kidding?
And she just lives in a little closet-sized house. I don't think it's going to work. I do not think it's going to work.
Meanwhile, your house will sit empty.
Yes.
You could have lent her the house. Dine out.
No, I could have, but I chose not to. Do you know what I saw during the break that got me really sad? My first job was at Lincoln Mall.
Oh, yeah.
In Matteson, Illinois.
Right.
So there's a website that shows you pictures and, in this case, video of abandoned malls. Now, when they built Lincoln Mall, I was still in grade school when they first built it, and it was the most state-of-the-art mall around. You know, I grew first, I remember when I was a little kid, you've been to Ford City?
Yes.
Ford City was the mall.
Yeah.
And when I say the mall, I think it was the only mall.
Right.
Back then, it was the late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were any other ones. I don't think Woodfield was up yet. So we always went.
You know which one was up? The
which
hip.
One?
Harlem and Irving Plaza.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I was there yesterday, and they're celebrating their 60th anniversary.
You're right.
Harlem and Irving Plaza.
That one predated even Ford City. You're right. But Ford City was big and then just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Plus, it was the first in the area, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would go to Lincoln Mall as a kid. I grew up in Oak Forest, so Matteson was 15 minutes away. And then when I was 16, I got a job there at Toys by Rizzi, and it was jumping. Like, I always think about Christmas there when it was just wall-to-wall people at Christmas. But even when it wasn't Christmas, it was always really, really mm-hmm. crowded. But now on the WGN-TV website, I don't know if you already saw this. It's your home website. Not that you're the owner and proprietor of the website, but it's where you work.
They I should check it at least once a day.
You should check in and see what they've got. Yeah. They show this video. Somebody went through there with a camera, and it looks like the mall in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's all like trees inside are knocked over and glasses broken. And
it's all dilapidated.
It's all, yeah. And I always think back to, especially this time of year around Thanksgiving and Christmas when you couldn't even find a parking space. Flash forward to 2016. And it's Zombie Town.
And you would have never thought that could happen.
Never. Never.
I know.
The mall that they shot Blues Brothers in was kind of near me, too. We used to shop there from time to time. I can't think of the name of it. But it was in, I want to say in South Holland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with that. Was when it was in its heyday, nobody in the world could have walked through that mall and said, boy, in 10 years or 15 years, mm-hmm. there won't be a single person within a mile here. Dixie Square. Thank you, Kevin. Dixie Square Mall. Kevin owns a Blues Brothers website that he does, so he looked it up on his own website. So, yeah, it's just...
I was thinking, how do you Google that?
Kevin did that for me.
Mall of me.
It's the craziest thing, how something can be the hottest thing in the world, and then all of a sudden, it's so outdated that nobody goes there. I can't figure out
You're
what happened
radio,
to Lincoln Mall.
You should know.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Except radio, to some extent, there will always be this in a way. You know, it changes
right.
because of satellite and because just
right,
it
right,
just
right.
changes.
Websites and so on.
But boy, I'm looking at those pictures and I'm remembering pictures and video that are at WGNT. And actually, Kevin, we can do a link on our Facebook page, right? Are we doing that? All right. So if you don't know what I'm talking about and you want to see more of this, just go to Bill and Wendy on Facebook and you'll find the video and the pictures. But I can remember where, like, there's one place that I remember, the big jewelry store that was there, and now that sign is down and the glass is broken in front of it. It's just, it's crazy.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's a little sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, on that note.
Did I cheer everybody up? That was my goal.
Why yesterday, did I say yes to the show today?
You know what's weird? Yesterday, every story we had was sad. There wasn't a single story
Again?
We had
oh my
all.
Goodness, what's going
and
on?
Wendy said to me, she goes, I think it's this time of year, even though we know the merriment of Christmas is coming. There's something this time of year where it's just not quite as joyous as it should
well,
be.
What may be is that life continues as it is, but the sadness of it is heightened because we're supposed to be cheery.
Is that what it is?
And we're surrounded by decorations and people getting together and
yeah.
everything's great. That's why that when someone passes away or gets sick in the holidays, you're like, oh my God, and to top it all off, it's the holidays. It's just as bad that you were diagnosed with an awful disease or that your grandmother passed away, but it's exacerbated by the fact
absolutely.
That everything is...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I asked that there be a moratorium on death when the Cubs were in the World Series because I said, if you're a Cubs fan and you're even thinking about dying this week, don't do it because you won't know how the story ends. They died during the Cubs run in the World Series. See, that should you should yeah. That's unexcusable. But I'm also going to say during the holidays.
It wasn't his fault, Bill.
No, I
you're
guess.
Saying unexcusable.
I guess. But especially like it from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I'm going to ask for that same moratorium. Do not die between Thanksgiving
it
and Christmas.
It always happens in my family. Always. Really? Yeah. Always.
I hate hearing
We've
that.
Buried people on the 24th in the morning or the 23rd. Oh. And then my mom does the Christmas Eve party. And yeah.
All right.
But life has to continue.
Life must go on. Many people have texted in little thoughts about this mall, Lincoln Mall, and Matson and other malls. And how sad it is. Somebody, 630, says, I worked at Lincoln Mall when it first opened in 1973. Where did the Rex? Oh, here it is. This was at JCPenney. It was a wonderful place. It's so sad to see it now. Somebody else says, I put 630 again. I bought a waterbed. I bought a waterbed at Undercurrents at Lincoln Mall in 1981.
Great name for Undercurrents. Waterbed, yeah.
Maybe that was Lincoln Mall's fault, is that half the stores in there were waterbed stores.
And were dated, yeah. Right. Well, you have to think about this, and this happens. The Cape Cod Room is closing.
Yeah.
Rose Angeles, another great restaurant here, is closing. And we all think it's our own fault, not that there's anyone to fault, but think about it. We are all sad about it. We will crowd the Cape Cod Room during the next 3 weeks like it's never been full before.
Because you want one last burst.
It happened at Rose Angeles. I couldn't get a reservation. If they wouldn't, when Sports Authority was closing,
I know.
And we all had awesome stories about the mall, but we're the ones not showing up. And people move away and online sales and all that.
And sometimes, like with Lincoln Mall, I know like once Orland Square went up and it was 20 minutes away, people are like, well, there's something even newer and shinier
and
right over there.
Yeah.
So why do I want to go to Lincoln
That's
Mall?
The other thing. There's no upkeep, too.
Right.
You know? So you look at it and you're like, well, I'm going to go to Orland because it looks nicer.
Yeah.
And so it's not just that the consumer doesn't show up. The people who own it don't take care of
there's
it either.
There's part of that, too. There's so many people online that want to talk about this. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Steve has the news. If you can hold, please hold. We're mourning the death of Lincoln Mall.
I'm
it's been
serious.
Gone for 2 years. I didn't realize.
I was here for
I
laughs,
know.
Merriment, and
I'm
food.
Sorry.
I've gotten nothing.
Can we get on to some Pop Rocks, Kevin? Is there some way we can get her some Pop Rocks? We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news. And like I said, if you can stay on hold, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 by phone or by text. It's Bill and Anna on WGN. Steve, thank you. Happy
Thank
Thanksgiving.
You.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
to
Thanksgiving
both of you.
To
Happy
you
Thanksgiving.
And the entire Bertrand family. Anna Balavala sitting in for Wendy Snyder. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's nice, isn't it? It's fun.
It's cozy.
Low pressure, not like the TV.
You know that people tell me I don't sound as frantic on the radio?
No.
And I was wondering why I can hear myself talk, which I can't when I'm doing TV.
Yeah.
And also, I don't have a producer, three anchors.
Oh.
Yelling in my ear to wrap it up, hurry up, and then someone I'm interviewing that I have to have them say something meaningful in 45 seconds.
No, radio is a better medium.
Yeah, the format is a little more
TV is kind of wrap it up and get going.
Oh,
here.
Sorry, Kev. Yeah, sorry. Okay. All right. So we were talking about Lincoln Mall in Matson. On the WGN TV website, they have posted a video, and now we have also posted it on our Facebook page. It's just minutes away.
You're stealing from
At this point, we're just stealing content from you is all we're doing. So what it does is it shows you a video of Lincoln Mall in Matson, a mall that I used to work at when I was in high school, and I've been to hundreds of times, and now it is a ghost town. It's a ghost mall. It's empty. It's been abandoned for 2 years now. We've got a bunch of people online that want to talk about this. Marianne, for instance. Marianne, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing fine. First off, the one you were talking about with Dixie Square. And that was in Harvey, where the Blues Brothers.
Oh, it was Harvey. Yeah, yeah. All right. Was it Harvey there? Yeah, it might have been. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Right, Harvey Markham is right in there, but it's
All right.
And then recently they just tore down Evergreen Plaza, Evergreen Park, the way down, and that was one of the first indoor malls.
Oh wow.
95th and Western.
Yep. I just, we did a remote last Friday. Wendy and I did a remote from Horse Thief Hollow in Evergreen. And I was mentioning, I knew it was right down the street, but that was the one on Saturdays that my mom used to take my brother and I to matinees. the theaters, the movie theaters. You had to go up some spiral staircases to the movie theaters, and it was great.
For school, they would take us there for school. I remember seeing like 1776 there, and The Great Gatsby with Robert Redford.
Sure, and Mia Farrow. Yeah.
And my aunt would come in on Thanksgiving from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and that was one of the places we would go the next day.
And it's inconceivable, Marianne, when you're a kid and it's so vibrant and filled with people and everything, to say, oh, I bet at some point this place is just gone. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah, and then there's still the one in St. Paul or Calumet City you might have been thinking about was River Oaks.
Yeah, River Oaks. Now, when I went, that was all outdoors, but I've heard that since then it's enclosed. Yeah.
Oh, they put a dome over it?
Yeah.
I don't know what they did. Just kind of filled it in, but it's losing some of its anchors. Like Sears is gone.
Oh, no.
And Carson's is gone.
Wow.
Once Carson goes,
they all go. It's a domino principle, the Carson domino principle. Well, thank you, Marianne. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday. You too. Thank you.
I feel like we should have some nostalgic music now.
There should, Kevin, find something nostalgic if you could. We'll find something for you. We'll find something. Somebody says on text, Bill, I also grew up on the far south side and loved going out to Lincoln Mall. It really, I'm not exaggerating. When they first opened, it was like the future. You were like walking through the future going, this is what it's going to look like in the year 3000. Now they say, do you remember the place that had bumper cars and you could race around a track? That was called Le Mans Speedway, and they did. It was a pinball place. Uh-huh. I used to go there on my lunch break when I was working at Toys by Rizzi in Lincoln Mall. And then they did, in the back, they had a very small, but you could get on these Formula race cars and ride them around a track. And boy, that was fun. And they probably had, in their heyday, I'd say close to 40 or 45 pinball machines and a bunch of video games.
I remember our mall having an arcade. I mean, they had all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah. It's now, when you go into a shopping center, no matter where you are, if you're in Illinois or in some other state, they're so uniform. Everything is kind of the same. Mm-hmm. But back then, I don't remember there being, there were other video arcades in other shopping centers, but Le Mans was like a one of a kind type thing. Everything had its own kind of personality when it came to the shopping centers and the malls, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Lisa. Lisa, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. Well, we're talking about malls, in particular Lincoln Mall. What were your thoughts?
Well, I just drove past there. I mean, I remember going there when it first opened too, and what you said about it being the future, those big escalators in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember at Christmas time how crazy it was, but I was in a caroling group maybe like 10, 12 years ago, and at Christmas time it was already, it like seemed really, really empty. Like, why are they even hiring people to entertain? But I just drove past there about 15 minutes ago, and the one thing that is open, ironically enough, is the Carson's.
Oh, it is?
Yes, and there were cars parked out there. They did not look abandoned, so people are still shopping at the Carson's. So I guess
that goes against our theory.
All right, well, good.
It's the opposite of River Oaks.
I remember at some point, because there were four main stores in Lincoln Mall, and at some point, Webolt's closed, and then instead of anything ever going in there, it was just like, sometimes at Halloween, there'd be a little Halloween store that would go in, this giant Webolt's. But for the rest of it, it was just kind of, they just blocked off the doors. And then I guess as time went on, more and more stores were doing that in Lincoln Mall.
Yeah, you know, I used to shop there a lot in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, I bought all my school clothes there, whatever. And then, you know, we just stopped shopping there. It's our fault it closed, I guess.
I guess.
But it got shut down for not being kept up. I guess they even had like a rat problem. I read something about
that. That's what I'm saying. It's not all on us.
Yep.
No, right. The people, the owners didn't keep it up, but they probably couldn't afford it because I don't think there was much. I don't think there
traffic,
were many.
Traffic, yeah.
Yeah. How many stores left?
What stores did the rats shop in mostly? Do you know? I want to say Spencer's Gifts, but that's not fair. That's not fair at all.
It was after my time. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Lisa. Have a good holiday.
Sure.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know who else? Back when I worked there, so I was in high school during there. This is when it was popular for there to be mall singing tours, and I don't remember if it was Tiffany or Debbie Gibson, or maybe both, but they did a big center of the mall show, and it was just, it was wall-to-wall people on both. They did the show on a stage on the ground level, but then when you looked upstairs,
everyone was looking.
It was jam-packed, and that was just to see, you know, with all due respect to Tiffany or Debbie Gibson, whichever one showed up, it was just to see them. It wasn't like U2 was there. It was just Debbie Gibson, but it was thousands of people there to see Debbie Gibson.
There is an audience for them, too.
I guess. Yeah, I guess so. Sorry, Debbie Gibson fans, if you're listening.
Deborah. What are you, now it's Deborah.
I know it is Deborah Gibson now. Why are you guys ragging on Deborah Gibson? It's just me. It's not Anna. She's a big fan.
It's from my time.
I know. She did great. Ernie, how are you?
Bill, good.
Well done. Well done.
Anna approves of the way you said her name. That was beautiful, Ernie.
Wonderful. Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I don't think we're having this discussion if the mall is not there anymore. Like, if it's torn down and
right.
it's gone.
Yeah.
We're not having this discussion, but because it's there, it's just this eerie post-apocalyptic feeling.
That's
that,
it.
You know, it really is. Just a really quick, for instance, some years back, I worked an electrical contractor, and there's a abandoned hospital up by, or Clark and Ashland intersect up by Bryn Mawr. It's still there. And we had to do some work in there. It was abandoned. We're walking through there. There's no lights on. You can see it says autopsy room, and then there's, it's just very, and you're just thinking, why is this hospital still up? And it's still up today, and this was years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just think there's this post-apocalyptic feeling.
That's
you
it.
Know, you could go on YouTube, and there's, after Katrina, Six Flags was still up.
I know.
It was still up for years afterwards.
I know.
And people would tour it, you know. So I think that's it. It's just got that really eerie, the end of the world feeling to it.
Every once in a while, I don't know if you watched The Walking Dead, Ernie, but there'll be some scene in something of a landmark in or around Georgia, and that's the same kind of a feeling you get when you see one of these shopping
Absolutely.
Centers that was just so full and now are just so empty.
Yeah.
But you're right, post-apocalyptic sums it all up. Ernie, thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, guys. Thanks.
Take care. Bye. More thoughts on this. We only have a couple minutes, but I see every line is ringing. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. Again, 312-981-7200 gets that done. We'll close this off in just a little bit. Our goodbye to Lincoln Mall, which has been gone for...
It's been beautiful.
It's been beautiful. Hasn't
mean,
it been nice?
This in memoriam has been up there with an Oscars or a Grammy.
You know how during the Emmy Awards or the Oscars, they have an in memoriam segment and it's famous people? At the end of our show, we'll do one
famous
with shopping
malls.
Centers.
Famous malls. Malls all over the world.
That's what we'll do. It's Bill Leff and it's on
Paul no
Evol
with us.
On WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Anna Balaval. She is filling in for Wendy Snyder.
The heck I am.
You are. You're filling in very nicely for her. You're getting a crazy amount of positive texts, too. People
I
like you.
I sing all your jingles, too.
I know. I heard you.
I jingle all
Can you
your
do
jingles.
A little bit of the Tree Time one for me?
Tree Time, Tree Time, TreeTime.com. Everything Christmas, TreeTime.com. Ho, ho, ho.
Now, if people want to get that on iTunes, that's available, right? If people want to make that their
ringer.
It drops
tomorrow.
It's dropping tomorrow. So are our ratings.
No, I think that would... You shouldn't segue into anything now.
That's happening now.
You should be very gentle about what you're going to read. Switch pages. Switch pages right now.
All right. If you visit our Facebook page, you'll see the video that I'm talking about. We stole this from the WGN TV page, mm-hmm. and now it's on our Facebook page. And they show you somebody snuck into Lincoln Mall in Matteson, a place I used to work. And they just showed you that it's in total disarray, total decay. There's no businesses open. Carson's is open, I guess, on the outside.
Because Carson's likes to stay open.
Carson's evidently didn't get the memo that the rest of the mall is going
Where
down.
Are these people?
Right. This used to be jam-packed. Where'd everybody go?
I'm still selling coats.
That's all right. That'll be all right. So we've got a couple of people that wanted to talk about this. And then, because Anna was nice enough to sing the Tree Time jingle for us,
ho, ho, ho.
TreeTime.com, we're going to give you, somebody's going to win a $50 gift card to Tree Time just for putting up with us. That's coming up in a minute. But first, let me get a call in or two. Deborah, thank you so much for hanging on. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thanks.
You used to shop at Lincoln Mall, huh?
I used to work at Lincoln Mall.
Where did you work there?
I worked for the mall in the customer service,
oh,
right in the
yeah.
middle of the mall.
Sure.
Yeah, so. And it was such a nice mall, but I was just going to share one of my memories there is that I saw Britney Spears there.
There you go.
Britney Spears performed there.
It wasn't just Deborah Gibson.
No?
No. This, she didn't even perform. It this is just before her breakout, and she, I was on my break, and I went upstairs to Music Land. I was just going to browse. And right as I walked in, here's this girl with two dancers with her. She had a headset microphone.
Yeah.
And she's singing and dancing and putting on this performance. I'm like, what is going on here? Nobody told us that there was going to be a performance, but it was in the store. And she was wonderful. And I thought, who is this kid? She's great. She's got so much talent. But I read later that the Music Land did that. Sometimes they would promote artists, upcoming artists.
Oh, yeah, and bring them into the store.
But they wouldn't announce it. They would just come to the store and start.
Well, that's pretty cool.
In case they were bad.
Yeah, right. You want to publicize that. Wow. And nobody, like you said, she had not broken out yet.
She was just on the verge of, I think this was like, what, 99, something like that. And she was just ready to. And I was like, who is this kid? She was wonderful. She really, it was amazing. So.
That's great. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, Deborah. Have a good holiday.
And Brittany, same to you. Brittany couldn't save Music Land or Lincoln Mall.
She tried. She did everything she could, Anna. She's just one girl. That's all she is.
She should have done a telethon.
All right. A couple of quick things before we turn it over to Brian Noonan, who's in for...
That's it? We're done?
We're almost done. Oh. There's a couple of loose ends that we need to tie up because that's what we are. We are the tires up of loose ends.
You know what I'm loving? Looking at all these families walking by the showcase studio.
Yep.
And what is great is that the parents are like, look, there's a radio station. It's Thanksgiving and it's beautiful out here. And the girls are like punching each other.
Yeah, you get a lot of that.
The teenagers are mortified. And the parents are like, we're in Chicago for the holidays.
I know.
Take it all in. And they're like, whatever.
We get to see that on a daily basis.
At home,
we get a lot of it at home. All right, a couple of things. Thing number one, John Williams. John has asked that we mention this. Radio legend John Williams. He has asked that we mention him by those words, radio legend John Williams, which you just did, so thank you. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow in this time slot, that's 1 to 3 p.m., the Thomas Jefferson special will be airing. This happened 3 days before the election that was live at the College of DuPage. He, Thomas Jefferson, TJ, shares his thoughts on today's political climate. So tune in tomorrow in this time slot for John Williams and Thomas Jefferson because they will be on. They also do some sports.
Wow.
Also, Randy Vineyard, who we had on earlier, we were talking about the blood drive that's taking place on December 12th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Spring Grove Village Hall. JakeVineyardFoundation.com has all your information about the blood drive and about the foundation. They're going to be giving away $10 Target gift cards to each donor, and then they're encouraging people to donate back so that they can help local families in our area who are struggling financially. So in addition to doing a good thing and giving some blood, there will be those gift cards, and you can, like I said, donate back. So keep that in mind. And then also, as promised, you sang a beautiful rendition of the Tree Times song. We are giving away right now, as we speak, this second, a $50 gift card and a certificate for a desktop sports-themed tree of your choice with white micro lights at Treetime Christmas Creations, featuring the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and lights and trim and wreaths, all at factory direct prices. You can find them online at treetime.com or on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
Pepper Road is the rich people call it that. Lake Barrington.
That's how the rich people say it, but not you and me.
No.
We're just of the people. If you wouldn't mind, please select a number between 1 and 20.
14.
14. If you are caller 14 right now at 312-981-7200, you will win the $50 gift card to Treetime Christmas Creations. Call now, caller 14. We'll see what Brian Noonan is up to next. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.